Sit down,
Danny.
Oh.
Danny.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the highlight of my day. What I get to say, this is FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip R. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, Phil's a good announcer, but he's a great lawyer.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Son of B.
Give that man his money.
Yeah, the man. And all the ships at sea. Hey, it's the authors of the Prostate Cookbook, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. And hello, everybody. May 2nd.
Oh, it's the 2nd.
Yes. May 2, year 2000. Year number 4 of a 7-year contract between us and CBS. And the telephone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. You have Bloody Beth answering the telephones right now while Toya Swallow is out finishing her assignment to talk to ugly, fuggly people.
Yes.
We are doing a little experiment to find out if ugly people really do believe they're ugly.
So we'll hear that tape on today's show. Welcome to the show. I've got to start talking about the Millionaire Show last night.
Right. Wants to be a celebrity.
Yeah, I watched it. Yes, like everybody did last night. Even in New York. You know, even in New York where they took Channel 7 off the cable.
Right.
You know, the people still found a way to watch the goddamn show.
Hey, Dana Carvey, can you do some of your impressions, you know, when you're picking your category?
All right. Here's why this show sucked last night, even though I watched every second of it.
Right.
I hate the fact that all the celebrities get to talk to each other. Like, Queen Latifah virtually gave Dana Carvey the answer on the question about the clothing line, because Dana Carvey thought the answer was FUBU.
That's right.
And then Queen Latifah gave him a hint. Okay,
that
I hate
fat,
that.
Fat whatever.
I hate that. Also, someone should just get a baked ham or another big item of food and shove it in Rosie O'Donnell's mouth, because for being someone who has screamed for the last year about how she can't wait to get on the show,
right?
She wasn't bright enough to make it past the first round with the fastest finger, and because of that, she sits there and runs her giant fat mouth throughout the entire show.
Yes, because she is so selfish that she wants to be up there. She's not going to let anybody have the spotlight.
Also, you get to see how stupid those 10 celebrities that they have selected really are, because when they do the fast finger thing,
yes,
they've dumbed that down for the celebrities, where it was like last night, put these 4 movies in the order of their release from the most recent to the one that was released the longest ago.
The Sting, Ordinary People.
Yes.
American
Beauty.
Was the last one.
And another one. And if you look at the list of the 10, only 2 out of the 10 celebrities put the list in the correct order, and the winner did it like in 12 seconds.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing the way they pander to those celebrities, but I guess that's what it's all about.
The only thing I enjoyed last night about the celebrity show was David Duchovny, because David Duchovny had an attitude where he pretty much said, you know what? I don't really care what happens on this show. And he got all the way to $250,000.
Right.
And he said, well, what the hell? Let's call my wife. And they called up Taya Leone, and the first thing she says is, honey, you're screwed.
Right.
And he didn't seem to be upset about the fact that he'd just blown $200,000.
Not at all.
For whatever the charity was.
I'll tell you right now, though, I'll say one thing about old Kathy Lee. She was looking strong on that show. She was looking better than she looks on her own show.
Network makeup.
Yes.
Network lighting.
Like when she walked off after she was done. Yeah, she looked like it. And I looked at my wife last night and I said, man, look at this. They're it now. These are the biggest celebrities in America right now. Kathy Lee and Regis. They are, how far they have come.
Do you remember when the show first started and I paused at the end of it and the disclaimer read, certain segments have been edited or recreated?
Right.
There was a new disclaimer last night. All celebrities are guaranteed $32,000 at least for their charity. So that's why they let them dick around so much leading up to it. So I think that's why they got away with all the cheating, because if you notice, all the cheating stopped as soon as they hit $32,000.
And I have a prediction of that panel of celebrities, of which You got to admit, Ray Romano and David Duchovny are really the only true celebrities that they got. The rest of them are hangers-on. The guy who's
the guy with the blonde hair?
The guy, he's going to be the last one in. The moron from NSYNC.
Oh, is that who he's from? NSYNC? I thought he's one of the boy bands.
He looks like a bagger, a grocery bagger at my Safeway, and he looks lost.
He looks totally out of place.
I mean, he's got to have the IQ of my shoe.
And you've got some, you know, bright or not bright, you've got some very strong personalities up there. You got some loud, you know, forceful. You got Queen Latifah. You got Dana Carvey. You got Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, he's going to shoot the Dana Carvey wad tonight, and he better hope that Ray Romano is not the next one to answer in, because beyond that, I think all you've got left is Queen Latifah.
Yes.
I mean, that's it.
I love Queen Latifah.
The rest of them...
I don't know why.
I can't even think of who the rest of the celebrities are. Mm. I mean, you had Connie Lee Gifford and David Duchovny and Dana Carvey.
You got...
three. Queen Latifah's four.
You got George Segal, George Goebel.
No, come on. Hold on.
Sorry,
I'm trying to seriously come up with a... Hold on. Wait a minute. Brains, who's on the list? There's 10 of them.
Emeril
Lagasse, not a grade A celebrity.
But I like Emeril. You know, I like Emeril, and I know they're not grade A celebrities, but I like the Queen Latifah, and I like the Emeril Lagasse.
I'm just thinking about when I'm going to lose whatever fascination I have left to watch that
show.
Will
you watch it with Emeril?
No.
You won't?
No, I won't.
I thought you liked the Emeril Lagasse.
I like Emeril Lagasse fine, but I don't like him on a game show. I mean, I want to see Ray Romano. That's about it for me. That's about it.
That might be it.
No, they got 10 of them, Rob.
Well, they did 3 last night.
Right, so you've got Connie Lee Gifford,
right.
David Duchovny, Dana Carvey, Ray Romano,
Rosie O'Donnell.
Fat Rosie O'Donnell, that's 5.
Lance Bass,
from NSYNC, Emeril, Queen Latifah, and we're leaving out 2. Oh, Drew Carey,
that's 9.
That's 9, and there's a 10. Oh, Vanessa Williams.
Where was she?
I didn't even. I just watched it for a little while.
In the dead center.
All right.
Right.
Who cares about most?
I didn't
of
watch
people.
The whole thing.
I got bored. I got bored because it's more boring with celebrities than the regular game.
I'm an idiot. I watched the whole thing.
Because you know why it has that phony element to it? You know, where they're really not trying that hard. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right, hold on. Somebody wants to clear something out. Clear something out for us here.
All right.
You're on the air. Don on my show. Terry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about Ray Romano.
What about him?
He's the last guy to get qualified.
How do you know that?
It took him so long. Well, it was in People magazine. It took him so long to answer it. It was way past midnight before the filming, and even the crowd started leaving in the audience.
Oh, well, if that's the case, if Ray Romano is the last, I probably will wait until later in the week to watch the rest of it.
Don't leave. Come on. Stick around. I know I can get it. Come on, Regis. Give me an easier one.
And Kevin James, he was on Regis yesterday, and he explained it to him that, man, Ray was having a tough time getting these answers. And so they really babied him there toward the end.
Could this be our new showbiz reporter who knows more about this than we do?
Well, you know, and I feel like an idiot because I just read the People magazine article and I didn't get that out of the article.
The only thing you read it like you read People magazine articles. You don't read word for word.
The only thing I read in the People magazine article that just pissed me off was that one of Ray Romano's lifelines, and I don't know if he ended up using this guy as a lifeline or not, was Gene Baxter.
Oh, boo!
Who's a disc jockey we know in Los Angeles.
God, a guy we worked with years ago. Bean.
Skinny old Bean. And Ray Romano's quote about Gene Baxter was, he's one of the brightest people I know. He's a walking encyclopedia.
Oh, my God.
It's the same guy. Listen, when Mike and I used to work with this guy 10 years ago, he used to carry around a Woogie with him all the time. He had like a teddy bear.
An Ewok.
Yes. He had a stuffed Ewok.
He carried it with him.
Wow. All the time.
He kept a pet tarantula.
That's normal.
In his office.
Right.
He was a weird man. I the first time I ever went out to lunch with the guy, he took a glass of water, and everybody around the table, the line was, hey, Bean, what's wrong? And I didn't know this because I didn't know any of these people. And his bit in the middle of the Hamburger Hamlet on Wisconsin Avenue was to take a goblet of water and pour it down his chest. Sitting there in the middle of the restaurant.
Yeah,
he's not a normal. That's the bright guy.
That's Ray Romano's lifeline.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
First of all, what happened to the shout-out guy, man? He was cool as hell.
And he didn't I bet it's you.
What shout-out guy on this show?
Remember that redneck they were calling a shout-out?
He was a dope.
Oh, he was cool.
No, he was a dope.
What do you mean? You think that's you act like that's some kind of feature that we had on the show.
Anyway, the thing about the millionaire show.
Anyway, you act like that's some kind of feature we had on the show. Anyway.
Anywho. And what for?
And whatnot.
Hey, that was a great feature.
Don't get nasty, Mike.
Don't get nasty, Mike. What's your name, sir?
Brad.
What can we do for you, Bradley?
Well, I wanted to talk about the show last night. David Duchovny.
Yes.
Is he... What's going through his mind? He's got $250,000 for this charity, and he's guessing like it's nothing. He blows.
That's why I loved it. That's why I loved it. He didn't give a rat's ass. It was like he got up to that big question. He didn't know. He said, "You know what?" And it was obvious. He wasn't trying to play along like he was stumped. He goes, "You know what? I don't know. Let's call my wife."
Well, that's David Duchovny's personality.
Right. Yeah. No, I found that rather refreshing last night. I thought David Duchovny was the best of the three who played the game last night.
And also, I think Kathy Lee, that thing was rigged. I think they rigged it so she could get on there so quick.
No, I doubt that. I mean, the questions that they ask are basic knowledge. I mean, you got to admit, at least she's got a basic knowledge.
She actually did make me laugh when they had the designer shoe person. Well, that's nice of him to hang up.
Goodbye, Brad.
See you later, Brad. When she had the designer shoe question.
Oh, she knew the answer before they even put it up.
You know, that's so typical her.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. The key thing about Vanessa Williams?
Yes.
She's having a baby today.
She already had it.
She did.
Had it Sunday, I believe.
They're
inducing labor today because Rick Fox isn't going to play tonight.
No.
I'm telling you.
You're all wrong. She's going to have it next Thursday.
Tuesday, I guarantee.
You're right about Rick Fox not playing tonight, but she's already had.
Wait. Everybody, shut up. Vanessa Williams and husband Rick Fox of the L.A. Lakers welcomed a daughter Monday in New York.
Because they were supposed to do it today.
She has already squeezed the baby out.
Thank you, sir.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
You were insisting that she hasn't had it yet.
Pardon me?
You were insisting.
I thought I heard on the show the other day, the game the other day.
You know,
we're doing this morning.
This would be the second example. Somebody says something, and then they just want to slither out of it without being called on the carpet for it.
No, you can't do that.
That's not fair.
Okay.
You're wrong. She already had the baby.
Okay, so I made one mistake in my life besides getting married. But anyway.
Is that really the only mistake you think you've ever made?
Yes. Yeah. Are we all set?
So the only mistakes you've made in your life are getting married and calling this show today?
Wow. I was trying to provide some information critical.
What?
I was trying to provide some critical information to you.
How is it critical information?
Just letting you know, because when did they film this? Last week, so she was pregnant right then. I was just, whatever. Sorry, guys. Have a nice day.
I wish just one time one of these guys, one of these dopes, would speak in full sentences. Rather than, when they're busted, go to the choppy language.
Absolutely.
Sorry, sir.
And it's always these little smart alecks here.
I'm not trying to be a smart aleck.
Do you have a little laryngitis there or what?
I think a little strep throat.
A little strep throat. Ooh, well, you should be nursing that.
Do you have anything for that?
Make sure you don't touch your Duke.
Right.
And make sure you don't touch your wiener. Because that's how it spreads.
Bye-bye, boys.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye. Bye-bye, boys. Yeah, it's just run for the exits as soon as you're called on it.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yes, hello.
Kathy C., last night, complete moron. $100 question, she didn't know the answer.
Oh, the one about the Emerald City? Yeah. Now, that's where I would have thought it would have been a setup if... She missed the first question, because that would have been too fantastic for her to go out on the $100 question.
She just looked good to me.
It was just hysterical. What a moron.
Can you tell I had a Kathy Lee evening last night? I will tell you that usually the roles are reversed here. You're the one that talks about how she just looked put together last night. And you're right, the network primetime makeup.
Right.
She looked good.
Robo makeup. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Very, very strong.
She is so doable. All you would need to do Kathy Lee Gifford would be a bottle of wine and a roll of duct tape. Because there's no doubt that you would have to tape her mouth. There's no way you could make love to her while she was speaking to you.
Sure, otherwise you might be in the middle of, doing the deed, and she starts going, "It sells, it sells."
She starts talking about Cody and Cassidy.
And a little Chardonnay.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi. Oh, my God, I'm on a Don and Mike show.
Right.
This is Sam from New York.
Yes, Sam. Hello.
This is my first time calling, and my heart's beating fast. But hey, you guys are great. I go home every night. I work at the, what do you call it? I don't want to say the company, but
no. Where do you work, Sam?
Time Warner Cable, New York City.
Oh. Do you really work for Time Warner?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good for you. Stick it to Disney.
I have some news about that.
We just got Channel 7 back on the air, but I'm saying that, I didn't know what time you guys came on, and in a day or so. But I said, let me try this number.
Yeah, see, for anybody who listens to us in New York, We were on at night in New York, but we do the show in the afternoon.
Oh, I see. Because, no, I was so confused. I'm saying, what time did he start? What time did he get on? But, you guys are a blessing to this new era for the 21st century, because I work nights, and then, you're like a second family, you know? Because it's hard to find stations, you know?
That's great.
Upstate New York, you know? But
if J.B. Coleman can ever get moved into his one-bedroom flat in the village, maybe he'll have time to work out the telephone situation so we can actually split our time between here and there.
You have a great team. You got that voice from the era of the 50s, you know, like the Don and Mike show, you know, like, this is great. You know, I love that. Like, it's talented at its
best. Sam, you're into the show, buddy.
Thank you, Sam. Goodbye, Sam.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Buzz,
yes,
the news is?
The Time Warner has put ABC back on in all of the cities. The FCC had given Time Warner till the end of the day to explain why it shouldn't put the Channel 7 and the ABC stations back on. Now it has.
Well, did they win, or did they just, were they forced to put them back on?
I think they were forced by public pressure. Lawmakers were saying, hey, put it back on the air until this is settled. So that's apparently what they've done.
Oh,
we're looking for more details.
Oh, that's too bad.
Disney wins.
And what the hell is the FCC doing getting involved in that?
Well, ABC dragged them into it. ABC.
Shouldn't they be more concerned about if we talk about eating prostate?
No, that's CBS.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Well, that sucks. It sounds like Disney won. You know, Disney always win those little dirty wars.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hey, Don. This is Don calling from Livermore. I just want to let you know that the King of Queens episode that you guys are on is going to be aired this coming Monday night.
This coming Monday.
Last night.
Well, you know, with our luck, I thought for sure it was going to be on last night when they had the Celebrity Millionaire on.
Right.
Because I'm sure King of Queens got killed in the numbers last night.
Of course they did.
All right, well, next Monday. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hey, and I was the one that saw you coming out of the garage. Me and my wife were there, and you guys were great.
Oh, you mean
out to see in the show?
When we were in California, you mean?
Yeah, you were coming out of the parking garage, and I had mentioned to you, we'll see you on the show, and you kind of turned around and said, no, you won't. But it was a brief encounter, but it was cool meeting you.
Oh, that might have been like one of those petulant moments where we were, we were out pouting.
Well, we were mad.
We were very angry.
Yeah, I think Don had gone to go get some cigars, I think. And I caught him just
out
of the parking.
You're right.
Probably wasn't the best place to catch you, but I just wanted to say hi.
On my way back from the parking garage where I went to get some cigars, and that's exactly what happened, because this guy could see you, and I said, no, you won't see us on the show.
If they'd had a camera for us walking around the studio lot where we're just we're plotting our strategy, and we're whining about the fact that we gotten screwed for airtime, that was a funny, funny moment.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, my favorite part was when the question Kathy Lee was, if you're fasting, what are you doing? And she said, I don't know. Let's ask Rosie.
No, you're right. She did say that. She did. She did get in the fat joke.
I think that that question was fixed to the other celebrities. We're all going, hey, I only have one button. And Regis was making smart remarks about the, they're complaining already.
Well, maybe they did fix it so that Kathy Lee would just get on and get off on the first day.
Yeah, maybe they did that because, her dinner engagement. Who knows, you know?
I love Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, did you, they had an article on this about this in the Inquirer and said one part that'll definitely get cut out is the Regis introduces Emeril's girlfriend as his daughter. Oh, your lovely daughter is here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said that part will definitely be edited out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Here is your daughter, Emeril. Oh, it's your girlfriend.
I'm very, very sorry.
All right, thank you.
And did you hear how many mistakes he made?
There was one last night.
If you want to get out of here, what are you doing? Am scary. And they said, Regis, that's am scary.
Yeah, am scary.
Am scary.
And who was ever sitting in the chair said, am scary. And then a bunch of the celebrities said, it's am scary, Regis. Am scary.
Regis, you big dope.
Am scary. Yeah,
beautiful. There he is.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks.
The eyes of America on Regis Philbin. What has happened to our society?
If old J.B. Coleman, you know, everything in the universe centers around New York, it seems. And if only J.B. Coleman had the wherewithal to get the phone lines put in
to
WNEW so we could go up there and do the show from New York and it would sound the same as here. Do you realize that today, right now, we could be talking to Rob Spiewak, who could be on the phone at Coconuts, where Cunningly Gifford is signing her new CD.
Absolutely.
We're missing out on that great opportunity.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, but have a nice day moving into your new village apartment. You know, we haven't been able to get a hold of him for 2 days because he's moving.
Well, and you know, he can't move into a place that's just all sloppy with unpacked boxes and all that. You know, he's got to decorate.
What do they have? He has like five five black T-shirts, five gray T-shirts.
But he's got to put all of his, you know, like his office. How many times did he rearrange his office?
Yeah.
He's got to have it just right.
Feng Shui.
Busy man.
Yeah, right. He's Mr. Feng Shui with his six different cotton T-shirts and his three pairs of baggy pants and his three baggy overcoats that he wears.
No. I'd like that dresser over. No, just a little bit more. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself moving, man.
Robbie, do you have that Toya tape? Rack it up. I'd like to hear a part of that, because I'm curious to hear. Now, when I came in today, I was not pissed, but disappointed. I came in, I saw Toya, and I said, did you go to Walmart to interview ugly people? And she said, yes. I said, how did it go? And she said, well, it didn't do too well. It didn't go too well because Walmart asked me to leave.
Ooh.
I said, oh.
Walmart. Mr. Walmart came out. Sam Walton came out.
I said, well, do you have that on tape? She said, no. I said, well, what do you have on tape? She said, well, I talked to about 10 people.
10?
About 10. I said, well, that's not enough. You had to talk to more, so I sent her back out.
Right.
I sent her, I said, just go down the street. There's a Borders Books down the street. And
yeah,
like
you can find ugly people anywhere.
A Circuit City down the street. So let's hear what she's got thus far. You got it racked up, Rob?
Rob has left the building temporarily.
Hello?
Let me see what this...
Maybe he's searching for the tape.
You got it?
Had to rewind it.
Here it is. Had to rewind it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Have you heard it yet?
Not a bit.
Okay, well, we'll all hear
this
it
is
together.
Raw.
We'll hear this together. Listen, while Rob is racking that tape up, let me pump this up a little bit.
You are.
Don and Mike, Las Vegas Style Show 2000. Tomorrow night, we're going to be at Carmen Kaboom.
Kaboom.
And that's in Columbia, Maryland on Dobbin Center Way. We will hit the stage tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. This is a show for people from D.C. and from Baltimore.
Because we measured it, and Columbia is right in between.
Halfway, pretty close. The closest ever to really being halfway between the two cities.
Absolutely.
And listen to the lineup we have. Besides the girls, mm-hmm. of course, you have the underwear fashion show, the nude feud, the Homo Joe challenge, the Cheryl the Big Dyke challenge, mm-hmm. Dennis Murphy with the girls sucking lifesavers off his underpants.
Right.
And the big diaper test with Dennis.
And Dennis will be on stage for most of the evening.
Dennis will be eating Tex-Mex, some kind of chili mix, chili mac.
Right.
And then we're going to feed him X-Lax, put him in an adult diaper.
And just see what happens.
Strip him down to just an adult diaper and put him in a corner on the stage and see how long it takes him to crap his pants.
And a big round of applause when Dennis, puts his arm up in the air and says, it works!
And what would you pay for a show like this?
I don't know, Don. I think it's priceless.
Absolutely nothing.
You mean it's free?
It's FREE.
That's terrific.
Our way of saying thank you for listening to the show. That's tomorrow night. Carmen Kaboom. That's in Columbia, Maryland. We will all be there. We'll hit the stage tomorrow night at 9.
You know, I have a favorite thing that's been happening over the last 24 hours. It's telling people that our farts are sponsored. I'll tell you, I haven't gotten that same look from people. It's a look of amusement and disgust at the same time when we talk about our farts being sponsored. I think it's a great day for the show.
And I have news for you that there's now a line of sponsors waiting to sponsor the fart. The people who are sponsoring it now only have it for 2 weeks.
Oh.
They only have it through May 12th. After that, it moves on to the next sponsorship.
That is terrific.
And did you see the internal memo?
No.
They put out a CBS memo where they're proud.
Yeah.
They put out a memo in the company like to all the other radio stations saying, ha-ha, we came up with another new revenue stream that perhaps you haven't come up with. We're actually sponsoring farts on the Don and Mike show.
Do you know Alan Limewine? How long do you think before he's going to have the first meeting with a salesperson that can't sell a particular show or can't sell a feature and say, you can't sell this? Let me tell you. Look what we sell on this station. We can sell farts. You can sell that package.
You know who sold the fart?
Who?
Not Tim.
No?
No.
Who sold it?
Libby.
Libby!
Libby.
Really?
Yep, Libby sold the first fart package.
Congratulations, Libby.
She did.
And Libby's one of the new blood back
right,
there.
Right, right.
You got that tape, Robbie?
Tape one.
Listen, you know what? Before I roll the tape, let me just say something serious for just a second.
Okay.
I just want to send along get well wishes to my father-in-law, who's in a critical care in the hospital.
Les is
afternoon.
A good guy, and our prayers are with him, and he's in rough shape.
It's funny, because we just had him on the show just last week, and I just spent all weekend with him, and Jesus Christ, he's like he's been my father for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really has. The whole time I've been with Frieda, certainly he's been more of a father to me than my regular father was, and everybody's all upset about him, and rightly so. So just a little prayer for Les.
You're here.
Not doing too great right now in the hospital, up in intensive care. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. if you're listening right now, Les.
All right. Okay? Yeah, well, Les.
And even though we had that whole big discussion last week, I'll say it, that I love you.
There you go.
Okay.
That's
an opportune time to say that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right, you got the tape there, Rob?
Yes, on real one.
Okay, real one. Here we go. Let's roll this. Toya at Walmart today looking for ugly people to ask them if they know that they are ugly.
Okay, do you mind if I ask you a question for tape broadcast for CBS Radio?
No.
Okay, first question. Do you think ugly people think that they're ugly?
Probably not.
Do you ever think that you're ugly?
On occasion.
Well, that's interesting.
Okay, thank you.
Now, she should describe that lady to us.
Guys, that woman was, like, extremely huge.
Okay.
Wearing all pink and not a pretty sight.
I'm from New York. I don't know.
All right, so what she's doing is she's just trying to find ugly people, right?
Right, she was only approaching ugly people, and I told her not to describe them till afterwards in case they ever said, you know, no, I don't want to be interviewed. That way we only got the description.
And let's keep track of that's the first person saying, yes,
yeah,
I do think it.
Yeah.
So that's honesty.
And she knew she was ugly.
Okay.
You know who Dynamite are?
Yeah, I do.
You don't like them?
I hate them. Ever since they started whining about when that lady got ripped off on tickets and they raped her, he's up there whining like a little girl.
What?
So can I ask you some
questions? Rewind that. I'd like to know what the hell she's talking about.
What?
When they talked about the woman who got ripped off with tickets.
I have no idea.
All I know,
raped her. The word rape was in there. I'm not
wearing all pink and not a pretty sight.
I'm from New York. I don't know.
Do you know who Dynamite are?
Yeah, I do.
You don't like them?
I hate them. Ever since they started whining about when that lady got ripped off on tickets and they raped her, he's up there whining like a little girl.
You know, I don't remember raping anybody on this show.
No, I think we'd remember that had ever happened.
I'm pretty sure we'd have that for best of, though, if we raped anybody on this show.
I would think that that would be in our memory somewhere.
I think he means verbally raping her,
I don't remember what he's talking about.
Who knows?
Can I ask you some questions for CBS broadcast anyway?
Sure.
Okay, you too.
I'm from New York. I don't know about
the second time that guy said that. I'm from New York.
Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people know they're ugly?
Yeah, I'm ugly. I know it.
Hey, there you go. It didn't even have to be asked the question.
That's two for two now. Two ugly people who know they're ugly.
That's good.
Yeah, well, I'm ugly, but I know I'm good, though.
You guys answered all of my questions. Only had two. And my second one was, do you think you're ugly? And you both said yes.
Yeah, well, I'm ugly, but I'm still, you know, choosable.
I'm choosable.
Okay. All right.
I like that guy. Potentially three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're Infinity Broadcasting.
Infinity, right.
Right. That's CBS owned.
Howard Stern, right?
Dynamite.
Yeah, he's ugly.
He is ugly.
He is one ugly man.
He's ugly.
Scotch sucker.
Hello. Oh, well, you're
hearing. Every day I have it on WJFK.
You are hearing the raw tape, Mike. This
is
not, obviously not been edited for broadcast.
Very good.
I have it on WJFK. And I get in the car to go home from work, and Dynamite are on. About some gay dude on there. Everything's just like
sweating for Howard. He's sweating Howard.
All right.
You know, I have to delete some of that out. The company's going to get mad at us for...
Absolutely. We're supposed to avoid that.
Why'd you fast forward, Robbie?
Fast forward a little bit. And
I don't necessarily disagree with what was being said. But, you know, we're all one happy family here at CBS.
Of course we are.
Here we go. Let's roll into the next part.
Okay, this is for them. First question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
Yes. Everybody
and,
thinks so.
Do you think that you're ugly?
No.
Okay, very good.
Okay. First guy.
That's the first person to say, I don't think I'm ugly.
And now let's hear Toya describe what he looks like.
I'm not going to say I'm ugly. Definitely not. No, I'm not ugly. No.
Okay. All right. Thanks. We're just doing a poll. We're doing a survey.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What does he look like?
That's it.
Okay.
What's he look like?
Actually, you should be ugly inside here, right?
Yeah.
What does he look like?
Okay, Don and Mike, that was a guy, this old guy with a scraggly Willie Nelson beard and a gold earring with a cross on it and a mismatched gym outfit. Yuck.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions for CBS Broadcast Radio?
Sure.
You don't mind, right?
No.
Okay. Do you know who Don and Mike are?
Yeah.
Okay.
right, now she's straying from the script there.
Yes, that immediately will put people into a defensive crouch.
Didn't you tell her no ad-libbing this week?
It was right on the card. Hey,
you wrote it on the card, no ad-libbing?
On the card.
All right, she's all over the place. Here we go.
The first question is, do you think that ugly people know they're ugly?
I think so, yeah.
And do you think that you're ugly?
No. That's the second no.
Do you think that ugly people know they're ugly?
I don't know if they do or not.
Who is this she talking to?
Did she move on to another one?
Do you think that you're ugly, ever?
No. I don't know.
No. Thanks, guys.
A pair of guys. She's disarming them with that giggle, though.
I have to get it on tape. Do you mind if I ask you?
What else? She didn't tell us what they look like.
That's important to get that follow-up of, you know, the scraggly beard with the gold earring. I like that part.
Because she's only going up to people who she discerns to be ugly.
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, she asks them, do you think you're ugly? That's the whole setup.
Questions for broadcast CBS Radio?
No.
Okay, so first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
First of all, the creation is not ugly. Nobody's ugly.
Pay dirt. It's,
this guy is very ugly.
Okay.
Second of all, environment makes them feel like ugly while they are not. And third thing is that if somebody thinks he or she is ugly, that's their own fault because they are not ugly.
And then she's going to ask,
this guy's got to be a mess.
Now, is she going to ask the second question after all that? I hope that's funny in itself.
Does he think he's ugly?
Second question is, do you ever think that you're ugly?
There you go.
Every once in a while, everybody has some inferiority complex, and they think they are ugly in relation to other people due to some complexes.
Okay.
And once in a while, everybody feels like that.
Good.
Due to some complexes.
There are some complexes. I have a complex. Let me get a description of this.
Yeah.
Thing.
And so is true with me. I think I'm perfect.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Toy is just grinning at him the whole time. Okay,
Don and Mike, that was some Indian guy with sandals on and a tan Indian getup and a Hawaiian print golf.
Get up.
Well, what did he look like? I mean, she's describing his clothes, but was he ugly?
It doesn't matter. He was in a getup. She only stopped
people. Can I ask you a couple of questions for CBS Broadcast Radio?
Sure.
Okay, the first question is, do you know who Don and Mike are?
I've heard of them from a long time ago.
No, that blows the whole deal.
It gets people ready for what's going to follow.
Listen, we know that everybody here knows who we are. We just wanted to find out if ugly people think they're ugly.
Bingo.
Jesus.
Okay. The first question is, do you think ugly people think they're ugly?
I don't know. I've always wondered that. Maybe.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure.
And the next question is, do you ever think that you're ugly?
Every now and then I do. I mean, I can see it, but every now and then.
Listen, you know what? Again, she's misphrased the question. It's not, do you ever think you're ugly?
Do you think you're ugly? Much more definitive.
Yes, because everybody occasionally thinks they're ugly.
This is true.
It's just like an all-the-time thing. Are you ugly or not?
You're really ugly, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
How do we get a description? Oh, yeah?
Okay, guys. She wasn't ugly, but, you know, she was nice.
She wasn't ugly, so I guess she picked a person that wasn't ugly.
Why is she talking to people who aren't ugly?
She wasn't ugly, but she was nice.
She was nice.
And I'm nice.
Yeah, pull out that commercial. I want to play that. Mike did a fake, not a fake commercial, did a real commercial.
Yes, Don, it's a very real commercial.
But did a commercial like Buzz.
That's right.
It's good. I mean,
so you sound like Buzz.
It's good.
It's good. It's not.
It's good. It's nice.
There you go.
Okay, so do you mind if I ask you a couple questions? For the radio?
No.
Two questions.
I'm not allowed to do that when I'm working.
Okay. Jesus. All right, thanks.
What's LaToya?
I'm Toya. Yeah.
Yeah, you're very pretty in person.
Thank you.
LaToya.
Hi.
Have a good show today.
Hey, I just want to ask you two questions, please.
I've heard that show.
All right, thanks.
I like the guy that knows.
All right, you knew what was up.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear one more.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions for a CBS tape broadcast?
No, I don't.
Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
Do I feel ugly people know that they're ugly?
Mm-hmm.
Some may. Some
may feel that they're ugly.
This could be good.
But it may not be appearance-wise. Maybe inner. Maybe an inner thing. It may not necessarily be the what you see every day.
Okay. And the second question is, do you ever think that you're ugly?
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I've got to put this experiment to an end. She's not asking the questions the right way, so they're answering the right
way. How was the question written?
It was written, do you think you're ugly?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think you're ugly?
Yeah, it changes. It softens it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It softens the question has been softened.
No, I'm sorry. And she can't ask people if they know who we are, because then they know what the question's going to be about.
They know it's going to be something horrible.
It's going to have a ribald quality to it.
I mean, this is one of the, few nakedly cruel segments we've had. And, you can't see it coming.
Is she back yet?
I haven't seen her.
She's not back from Border Books yet?
No, not yet.
She's been gone an hour and a half on the second assignment. All right. Well, send her in as soon as she gets here.
No, often think we're ugly.
Right. No.
Do you ever occasionally think just that there's a possibility you might be ugly?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, that's a blown experiment.
Hello.
Those results are tainted.
Yes, they are. We're going to have to change the location.
Tainted love.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go with those results.
No.
She's being too nice when she has to.
Like in Real Genius, when the laser's out of sync. You've set us back week.
Right. You've put the whole project back.
Now we're not going to be able to give the laser to the government so it can blow the satellite out of space.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, last night on Millionaire, what do you think about David Duchovny's wife just flat out telling him that he's screwed?
I loved it.
It's good stuff, wasn't it?
I loved it.
You like the Tia Leone.
I like the Tia Leone a lot. Yeah.
Is it Tia or Taya?
I think it's Taya.
I think it's Tia.
Tia?
Tia.
Tia, Taya, it's all the same.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I just wanted to reiterate the fact that this is Whale from Reston.
Okay, Whale.
Thank you, Whale.
It's Tia and
Whale. Resting your face on D's nuts!
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's Tia and whatnot.
Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Noah S. Noah.
Yes, hello.
Sacramento.
Hi.
Hi. Me and my buddy are petitioners, and we sit out in front of Walmart all day long for like 8 hours a day.
Hey, nice gig. Cheery gig.
Yeah, really. But I'll tell you what, 90% of the people who shop there are ugly.
You say you're petitioners. What do you wear, like colonial outfits?
We'd probably do a lot better if we did.
Powdered wig.
We're the petitioners.
Well, listen, we know that ugly people go to Walmart. That's why we sent Toya to Walmart.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was just thinking that we sit out there all day long. We could give you an exact count of how many people are ugly out there.
No, thank you. Attention, Walmart shoppers.
We are the petitioners. We have our fancy pants on, our powdered wigs, and we are taking your name.
Ahoy, ugly people. Hear ye, oyez, oyez. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Look at the buckles on our shoes.
All right, that experiment is
totally failed. Totally, totally failed.
Totally, totally failed. All right. Toe tappy, touch tones right there. Clear these lines out. Bloody Beth is standing by to screen the calls right now.
All right.
For the secret sound, you're shot at $500. Brand new secret sound. It's not been answered yet. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
They like to eat it and love to do it.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Sure do. Cole? Tapping touch tones right there. Time for call 100. Hello?
Hey, this is so cool.
Hello, who's this, please?
This is Terry. I'm calling from Yuba City, California.
Beautiful, my friend. You are the 100th caller, and you have won the Stuff of the Month gift pack.
Ooh.
Log on to stuffofthemonth.com and make every day a holiday by sending her lingerie monthly.
I could not have won a better one.
But wait, there's more. We're going to give you a chance to win $500 right now with the return of the secret sound. Have you heard the new secret sound?
Yes, I did.
Okay. It's a tough one.
It is tough, but I'm sitting here in the studio and I think it's tougher.
Play it for you now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Robert Goulet. And of course, we wish you
good speed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. A common, everyday sound. You name it. You get $500, and the odds will be in your favor.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes!
Yes!
I'm telling you, you don't mess with a winning format.
Got to stand up to do Goulet.
You do not mess when things are right.
You're right.
That's why I moved the news back today.
Mm-hmm.
Put the news back at its regular time.
Yes.
I'm tired of dicking around with that every day in the middle of the show. The news should be on when the news is on.
Right.
That's at the end of the show. That's the way we do the show.
Don't mess with a good formula.
When we run out of stuff to say, that's when we go to Buzz. You sing like Robert Goulet.
Yes.
When we do the contest.
When we do the contest, I'll stop singing now.
Okay, for five bills, who is that? Or what is that? I'm sorry.
What is that? It's just like mail being shoved through a door slot.
Can you be a little more specific?
Mail or newspapers through a mail slot in the door.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, not even close. Thank you, though. Please remember that every guest is a clue
for you.
Not even close. Thank you, though, my friend. Are you ready to write down an answer?
Yeah, I have to. I'd feel like I wasn't doing myself justice.
Okay, write it down. Let's see what you got.
You know, all right.
It's an everyday sound, Mike. The sound I know you would know. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with a mailbox.
Well, I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to blow it. If my incredibly high IQ was going to give other listeners a clue.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that.
All right.
Now, we received something in the mail that I want to share with you. A couple of things I want to share with you. I got an article about a disc jockey I know who's lost his friggin' mind, which would be good to get to. You know Chuck Knapp? Are you familiar with Chuck Knapp? Anybody
also
here?
Also known as Chuck Nasty?
No, Chuck Knapp.
Different guy?
Chuck Knapp from KSTP in Minneapolis and
the name.
WLS in Chicago.
Middle name Taker.
No, not Chuck Take a Knapp. No. He's out of his mind.
Hey, let's see what's in the knapsack.
We also have, for Charlie Stossel, we got said something about mail order brides.
Sure, Russian ladies.
Where you take a trip. Now, it costs big bucks.
Sure.
I mean, it costs like $3,000. But you go to St. Petersburg in Russia. And you get to meet all these Russian girls without mustaches who want to come back and love you long time.
They're looking for husbands, and it's romance trips.
We've got a phone number there. We're going to call on behalf of Charlie Stossel.
Good.
But first, let me share this with you. We received the most jive come-on in the mail from the Virginia Egg Council.
Okay.
It says, Dear Don and Mike, May is National Egg Month, which is when the whole country celebrates the goodness, versatility, and just plain fun of eggs.
Okay.
It's a perfect hook for the Don and Mike show.
Eggs.
And the Virginia Egg Council would love to help with prizes and expertise.
Oh, fantastic.
And
I love that.
They've sent along a page of promotions for us.
Really?
Yes. Now listen to this.
I love these ideas. You know what? I before you read them. I know they're all great, and I know you're not going to do any of them, but I just want to say that I know they're all great, and I wish we'd do all of them.
My mom is a grade A chick, and that's no yoke. Contest for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners write in why their mom is so great.
Good.
Grand prize is a dozen eggs a week for a year, plus a super electric omelet pad.
Man, a dozen eggs a week for a year and a trip to intensive care.
So here's another promotion that they've come up with for us. Stump the Expert.
The Expert, E-G-G?
Yes. Ask listeners obscure questions about eggs. Correct answers get a dozen eggs plus an egg gadget.
Hey, an egg gadget.
Grand prize, eggs for a year, plus an electric omelet pad.
They're really generous with the eggs for a year, and they'll send them anywhere in the country, but they have to originate in Virginia.
Right, now, here's another one. The Expert Speaks.
Okay.
The Virginia Egg Council Consumer Affairs Director cooks an omelet on air for Don and Mike.
Yum, yum.
While she gives up dozens of egg tips, facts, and yolks it up about eggs. This is guaranteed to keep your listeners entertained. Plus, she comes with plenty of stuff.
Hey, lots of stuff to... Do you mean stuff to give away?
Yeah, and then finally they have the Good Egg Award.
Yeah?
Good Egg of the Day, Good Egg of the Week, Good Egg of the Month.
You're a good egg.
Listeners nominate good deed folks in the community. Prizes are mugs, T-shirts, egg gadgets...
And eggs for a year!
And can you guess the grand prize? Yes. Grand prize is an electric omelet pan with...
Eggs for a year. A dozen eggs a week for 1 year. Are they grade A large?
I don't know how many stupid disc jockeys they send this thing to where the disc jockeys just automatically
go on the air with this.
Hey, we got a special lady from the egg board who's going to make an omelet. And listen, if you know your egg trivia, you might want to call in and win eggs for a year.
This is going to be a perfect opportunity, I believe, for Nipple and Anus.
Yes, that's right. Al Nipple and Victor Anus.
They've also sent a page of great egg phrases.
Oh, fantastic.
For us to use on the air.
Great.
Have a sunny side up day. Do you feel scrambled in the morning?
I sure do.
I feel devilish today.
Oh, boy, devilish.
Hey, don't get so hard-boiled. My daughter's name is Shelley.
Hey.
Whisk away your fears and whip up that report.
Oh, fantastic. That'll be nice scrambled eggs.
I flip when my wife gives me a hug and a quiche.
Have a great day.
How friggin' jive this is.
Hey, they didn't put my favorite one on there. Hey, what smells like eggs?
All right, let's call.
Let me give you a clue. It's a sponsor.
You ready? You ready, Vic?
I sure am, Al.
All right, here we go. Gosh, I hope that Scott Shannon or Jack Diamond didn't get this great bit before we could get our hands on it.
Super duper, but let's get into characters and get ready to talk eggs.
The Nipple and Anus Show. Good looking Tuesday.
Hi there.
You're at the Tri-City area. Oh, beautiful sunshine. Looking forward to that celebrity billionaire show tonight.
It's what everybody's talking about. That's what it says on my sheet here. Everybody's talking about it.
It's no yoke, folks. I get expirated when my computer scrambles.
Slow down, you're getting me excited.
Start your day off with a good beat.
Well,
I guess they're asking you to beat off.
Hey, they must all be out having omelets or something like that, you know? I'll tell you right now, there's nothing like a fresh egg in the morning.
All right, let me try another number. Hold on.
I like to eat mine like Sly Stallone did in the Rocky pictures. Yes, just break a dozen eggs into a jar and drink it all down, uncooked.
I'll tell you, the eggs, though, they give you the killer toots.
Oh, you tell them, Al.
It's pull my finger time in the Nipple household. With my nipple and all the little nipples come over to pull on Pond Nipple's fingers.
Hey, 30 seconds have gone by. We haven't signed on. Come on now. Give your name, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Anus.
Good afternoon. It's the Nipple and Anus Show at 4 minutes past the hour. Traffic and weather together. Coming up, traffic and weather together on the 8th. From your friends.
Coming up a few minutes from now, we're going to have more egg recipes.
Council, please leave a message after the tone and have a great day. And thanks for calling.
Oh, they're not home. All right, hold that's on. A shame. I was gonna mention that coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to give Mrs. Anus' recipe for deviled egg. Yes, sir. And the secret ingredient, paprika.
I want to tell you something. I've eaten lots of eggs, but until you've had an anus omelet. You really haven't lived till you've had one of the anus omelets.
Well, I'll tell you right now, everybody in the anus kitchen knows their way around eggs. That's for sure. How are things in the nipple kitchen?
Ah, nipple-rific, of course. My wife, Nan Nipple, frying up the eggs. I know your wife, Annie Anus.
Yeah, that's for sure.
She's quite the cook, quite the great-a cook.
I tell you, there's nothing quite like the southwestern cuisine that Mrs. Nipple produces, like that wonderful nipple frittata.
Traffic and weather coming up. I'm Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Anus.
Good afternoon. No one's answering at the egg place. Hey,
Never a Buster Clock. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. That was Mr. Gonorrhea, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I was calling in reference to Mr. Nipple and that chili that they got there. That chili thing that they're going to do.
Yes.
Well, I got the best chili in the whole world.
Why is it the best?
Chili.
Why is it the best?
Well, my grandmother made this. And my mother made it, not made it. Everybody says the best.
Really? Okay.
It's just but not, we got the best chili that there is.
Okay.
And I'd like to send you some. I want you to tell the people that my chili is the best.
All right, well, I will pass that on to Al Nipple and Victor Anus.
And you mean pass that on.
Yes, right.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Now you got this car of Joe's coming in chili.
I tell you, I don't think Mom made his cell phone.
Hello, John and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, I'm from South Carolina. I want to tell you guys that you're right on point in regard to the state being full of hicks.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for once again pointing out the obvious to us.
Yes, very good. Hey. It's always nice to get support wherever we can get it.
Hey,
I just moved down here from New York, and the only thing good about this entire state is like the gas price is like $1.06.
There you go.
$1.50.
They're all inbred. Yep. You ever seen those fake redneck teeth? I just stabbed a woman who looked like Alfreda Newman. All right?
Like Alfreda. Alfreda Newman.
All right, I got you. Thank you, my friend. Goofy Toofies, that's what he's talking about.
He found the silver lining, though. He found those gas prices.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. What am I doing? Just turn off the telephones or turn them off?
Thought it was somebody else from South Carolina.
Well, you know what? Hold on. I just turned off all the telephones.
I have a
boyfriend to recycle again. Everybody loves Raymond's wife's fabulous new boobs.
Oh, really?
Now, you know, that we've been hot for Patricia Heaton for a while from the Everybody Loves Raymond show.
I think she's the best comic actress on television right now.
Yeah. Before we met Leah, we were really in love with this lady. And she was very nice when we had her on the show when we were out in Southern California.
Very similar to the way she is on the show. It was really cool to interview her.
Well, here she is now in the new Star. And it says, Patricia Heaton, Ray Romano's wife on Everybody Loves Raymond, has boosted her bust.
Really?
Her breasts make her feel sexier now after having 4 children in 5 years. Can you imagine?
She's been pregnant on the show twice.
Right? She must just be a mess down there. all stretched out and silly putty-y.
You never know. Certain women have more resilience than others.
4 kids? No way. I mean, after 4, it's like a
I always forget that you are an OBGYN. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you know girls are stretched out after 1 kid, girls are stretched out. Imagine after 4. Let me see. I love my look, Patricia says. I was determined to look sexy for me and my husband. Dr. Jerome Kraft, plastic surgeon in Palm Beach, Florida.
Hey, Jerome!
Says that he took her from a B cup to a C plus.
You know it's sad when I'm doing Morris Day references. That is sad. I apologize.
Let me see. Her left breast, the only thing wrong with the surgery is that her left breast is a little higher than the right one now.
Well, that's not right. They're not supposed to do that out in L.A. Those are the finest cosmetic surgeons anywhere.
Well, she had them done in Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, she did.
Here they are before, okay?
Yeah.
And there they are after. Can you see?
Oh.
There's the before picture. This is in the Star. And there's the after picture.
I'm not convinced at all. It looks to me like she's got a different kind of outfit that would give her more cleavage. They've got to give me more proof than that.
No, look how big they look right here. Look how big they look.
Well, it's
look at that.
They look. They look big because.
Mommy.
They look big because they maybe she's got a push-up bra.
Mommy.
Okay.
I'm horny. I'm sorry.
You had a little horny attack today?
I'm very horny.
I don't think it's true.
I was just nursing on a picture of Raymond's wife in the tabloid.
I don't think it's true. I think it's fixed.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's totally BS.
All right. I'm just reading you stuff from the tabloid.
I know.
All.
I know. You can't believe everything you read in those tabloids.
I love to believe everything I read in here.
I think she's got nice breasts. I like the before picture,
yes,
too.
I think she looked good with big ones, though.
She would look great with big ones, yes.
All right. Now, here's one about Matt Lauer.
Okay.
Okay.
Where in the world is Matt Lauer?
Is that the biggest load of crap in the world? Who gives a rat's ass where Matt Lauer is broadcasting from?
He gave gifts today. He was giving gifts to Al Roker and to Katie and to Ann Curry, who, of course, said, oh, that's so nice.
Where was he today? Spain?
I don't know. Yeah, he's someplace in Spain.
Some museum in Spain.
I just check in real quick, like the rest of the country, just to see where he is, because I'm concerned.
All right, where in the world is Matt Lauer? Check out the Clinique counter as the 42-year-old Today anchor prepares for his third Globetrotting adventure. He's plunged deep into the woman's world of lotions and potions.
Oh, gross.
In an all-out bid to preserve his good looks.
Oh, no.
Matt's vanity.
What's he doing?
Matt's vanity is the talk of the show.
He's creaming himself.
His backstage nickname is Estee Lauder. Excuse me, Estee Lauer.
Estee Lauer.
Because he knows more about makeup and beauty secrets than Cindy Crawford. He takes herbal face masks.
Oh, no.
To clean and shrink his pores. Uh-huh. And talks about how alcohol-based astringent is terrible because that dries his skin. He knows as much about the gunk applied to his face as the makeup people. Matt Lauer's makeup wake-up call came after he returned from his last trip around the world looking wrinkled and tired.
Well, that's jet travel that'll do that.
He says, this is a quote now from Matt Lauer. I know I'm good at what I do, but in this business, that only takes you
so far.
He sounds like a woman.
This kills me a little.
Without the right look.
Hey, with a body like that, you can go places.
Lauer turned to his wife, 33-year-old Dutch runaway beauty Annette Roque, to help.
You mean runway beauty?
Why do they say runaway?
Runaway beauty. Yes. You made it sound like you married a runaway. Hey, how you doing? Are you lost on the streets of New York City? I'm Matt Lauer.
He went to her to help her to help him save face. And so she has been tutoring him on makeup.
Hmm.
Now
he'll be like Tiny Tim.
Matt Lauer's become a prize pupil, openly talking on the set of the Today Show about facials, mud masks, skin softeners, and other beauty treatments he uses. Like hemorrhoid cream to shrink the ugly bags under his eyes.
I've heard of that. Yeah. That's what will take bags out from under your eyes.
Very famous.
Matt Lauer, now here's another direct quote attributed to Matt Lauer. He wants to keep himself supple and baby-faced into his 50s.
Yes, please.
So gross.
And he says that's like having a second job. And that calls for loads of mirror time. Matt is forever looking at his hairline. The thinner it gets, the bigger he thinks it makes his nose look. Matt looks into the mirror and says, "You're looking good today." Or he says, "Yuck, not your finest hour, fella."
Who is the source on this one here? Is this somebody that's on the set?
Yes. Sometimes when he's brushing his hair or gently patting color into his cheeks.
Looking good today, fella.
Matt hums the chorus of "You're So Vain." He's funny about it, but at the same time, it's clearly something he takes very seriously. So on his trip around the country, around the world that he's taking now.
Yes.
He is traveling with a virtual beauty counter. On his airplane, they have facial masks, pore cleaners, exfoliating scrubs, and moisturizers. Beauty is only skin deep.
I would love to find that out. You know, see,
Matt Lauer.
Matt won't be able to come off the plane now. He's getting a face mask put on.
I believe it.
I do, too.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, my name is Christina, and this is the first time ever hearing your show. And I'm on the air, but I heard you talk about the woman being stressed out after she has kids.
Yes,
I was letting you know that after her first kid, she actually gets tired before she gets,
No, I want to tell you something.
I wanted you guys to know that.
You better tell her about your medical degree.
I do like your show. I
appreciate it, but I want to tell you something. When a woman squeezes a baby out, let me explain to you. You see that area between your legs?
Uh-huh.
You see how small that is?
Yes.
You know how big a baby's head is?
So I'm talking about after she has it, when that 14 days of,
Honey, it gets all flopped out. Turn down the radio, please.
Okay, turn on the radio.
Turn down your radio, please.
Okay.
Okay, now, what it's like is, it's very much like the way that a mouse can climb through a very small hole in a fence. I mean, mice are astounding in that way, that if there's a hole the size of a penny, a mouse can climb through it.
You're absolutely right. Just a hole just the size of this penny.
A woman's vagina is much the same way. Mm-hmm. It's, well, maybe it's not penny size, but maybe it's half dollar size. Yet when she has a baby's head comes all the way through there. And that forever stretches that area out beyond repair. And I know my wife has had a baby. My wife has a beautiful vagina. However, it's stretchy because she's had a baby. It happens.
Okay, and how long ago did she have her kid?
15 years ago.
Whoa.
Our son is almost 16. And it's stretched.
And this woman is disagreeing with you on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she's wrong. Are you really calling us from an ambulance?
Yes, I am.
Mm. Oh, so she's probably seen vaginas.
Yes, I have. I have one myself, so yes, I've seen
there you go. And you've had a kid? And you've had a child?
One, yes.
One.
So you're...
I am very, very tight.
No, you're very stretched out. You're in the ambulance. Are you being taken to the hospital, or are you driving the ambulance?
No, I am an EMT, and we're on our way to pick up someone.
Ah, for those who serve, well, you're doing great work.
Oh, thank you.
And what call are you going out to right now? Who are you going to help?
I'm actually
actually, it's not 911. I do transport. I pick up people from hospitals and take them to ERs or from hospital to hospital.
So you don't necessarily have to have the real emergency cases, huh?
No. I do that when I volunteer, not here. This is just like a regular transport service.
Do you get to turn the siren on?
Yeah, sure. We'll turn on siren.
Turn it on for us.
Okay. Can you hear it?
No. Yeah, I heard that one.
Leave it on for a couple seconds.
Can you leave it on for a couple seconds? I don't want to scare everybody down the street.
That's all right. Come on.
Okay, come on. One siren down the street.
How long?
40 seconds so they can hear that I'm in the ambulance.
You're not driving, obviously. It's your partner that's...
Yeah, my partner's driving. I'm on stuff.
So it's kind of like he's responsible for it.
Come on, right? Stretch. Yeah. Turn it on.
Very nice. That's good. A round of applause for the siren.
Somehow that, it makes me good. If I was the guy that was laying in the curb, bent over with blood coming out of my ears, I don't know if I necessarily want the people who are coming to pick me up to be listening to this show.
We turn the radio off after we come in, did you?
Oh, heck, I think I ought to turn it up when there's somebody in the back.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for the call.
No problem.
All right.
You guys are really, really great.
Thank you.
Continue to listen to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stretch. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. How about the old daddy stitch that they give them?
Oh, is that true? Is that true?
Most
all I know is that I will not name this person, but there's a person that's on this staff here at the radio station that was in the delivery room with his wife, and I think he used that old term, put an extra stitch in there for daddy.
Write down the name of
it. I probably don't even have to.
Is it David Heinlein?
you said it, I didn't.
And it works.
Go get David Heinlein.
And I think he got in trouble for that. He got in big trouble.
Go
for
get
that.
David Heinlein. I don't believe they do that.
No, they don't do
that. No, they don't do that. The doctor's not going to put in an extra stitch to make it tighter.
Absolute crap.
No, they do not. Please. Hello, Don and Mike Show, the daddy stitch.
Hello, Don.
Yeah. It's a joke. You know,
this is Don here. Listen to your philosophy on women and mice. I was wondering if it lends credence to why women are afraid of mice.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why women are afraid of mice, because it reminds them of their vaginas.
Let me tell you right now, we're not just doing a radio show today. We're rewriting an entire textbook.
Yes, sir.
Well, you've known my theory on vaggy stretching for a long time with childbirth.
Absolutely. But I've never heard the mouse theory, and that's why I just add another chapter. Hope there's somebody out there that's transcribing all of this.
That is incredible about mice, that your average mouse can go through a very small hole.
That's
somehow
why they can infest a building.
Right, he can push his way through that hole. Somehow he can. Thank you. All right, goodbye. You got David Heinlein for me? The most annoying sales guy on this staff?
He's usually just wandering. the hallway.
His goddamn headset telephone?
He's out of the building, but this is his cell phone number.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
An old joke, and I think he got in trouble for making that joke. And, in his style, making it at an inappropriate time.
Sorry, the number you have reached is not in service. Please check.
I have read that doctors will do that, though.
Really?
For a couple. Yeah. Absolutely. Very serious.
At the time of delivery?
No, I don't think at the time
of delivery. It was not offered to us as an option.
Well, now there's the procedure where they do that.
Right.
But I don't think delivery is the time they're thinking about.
Is it too late now?
I don't think it's ever too late.
15 years later?
I don't think it's ever too late. I think it's an actual cause. It's not cosmetic.
That would make a wonderful Mother's Day gift.
Like plastic surgery.
To give free to Daddy Stitch for Mother's Day. Just to tighten things up a little bit. For Daddy.
For Daddy.
Oh, God. She'd be so pissed. I'd come up with an envelope.
Yeah, here you go.
Just a picture out of Penthouse. Some big, gigantic bush.
Like a haircut where you say, I want it to look like this?
Yeah. Say, this is what I got you. Happy Mother's Day. All right, well, he's not answering his telephone.
Then when you remove the scissors from the middle of your chest.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Cheryl. I'm calling from Clemson, South Carolina.
Yes, hello, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make sure I told everybody out there that, yes, we are a bunch of inbred, redneck, backwood hicks.
Boy, that's carrying over from yesterday's show.
Listen, I'm getting so bored with this. I think we all know what the people in South Carolina are like.
I know. I just want to tell all the Yankees to please stop moving here. We're inundated with Yankees.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Gentlemen, it is absolutely true about that. When my son was born, because they snip him down to the bad place, he looked right at me, the doctor, and asked me how old I want my wife to be again.
So he actually he tightened her up for you.
I said 14, baby. I'm telling you, it's true.
You are full of it.
It is an absolute
truth. That is so, you are so full of it.
They don't want to tear, so they snip them to the bad place.
And you said 14. Meanwhile, your wife's just there. Was she there grinning?
She was on the epidural. So
yeah, she's probably high. So you're telling me right now that your wife has a snatch?
It's
like a 14-year-old girl?
No. Okay, okay.
Well,
hey, all right.
All right, a 19-year-old girl.
Okay.
19, okay. Is that better for you?
Yes, it is better for me.
19?
Truth.
Your wife has an area that is similar to a woman who would have teen after her age?
True that, brother.
And the doctor just said that, and you that conversation...
Yeah, he was a very, very lighthearted doctor, very, very loose in the room.
How much did Dr. Bombay charge for that?
It was HMO, so I couldn't tell you.
All right, listen, all we got is guys calling now saying their wives have had this thing done. Hello, Ken? Hey, Ken.
Yo.
Did your wife have this done?
Yes, she did, and another term for it is the honeymoon stitch.
And it was done at the time of delivery?
Yes, it was.
Wow. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's like an add-on. That's like
In some cases, they have to do a little extra snippet anyway, but so they piece it up and add an extra one in there.
That's like when you go out and you see a guy who has a car like you have, and you notice that he has a CD player, and you say, how'd you get the CD player? And he says, it was an option.
Sure.
You know, nobody told me about that option.
Right.
For goodness, it's like the aftermarket AC on a car.
Hey, I never thought that was done like during the delivery process.
Hello, Frank.
Yeah.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I was going to add about the mice. I didn't know y'all were talking about the extra stitches too much. A mouse can go through the size of its nose.
Yeah, right. They're incredible.
Wow.
You know what we need? We need a woman to call us who will fess up to the fact that she's had the extra snip for daddy.
I would assume if it really is true that we might get a call.
Maybe the women don't know.
Exactly.
They just don't want to tell.
They might not know.
I would think that they would know.
I would think.
I mean, listen, your wife has had two kids. My wife has had one. Even as out of it as my wife was with Loopy with the pain medication, I think she would remember the doctor going down there and giving her an extra little snip.
That's why, and you know, it's just the kind of guys that are calling right now. I want to get that woman to call in to verify that this really does happen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I just want to let you guys know you're great today. This is one of your best shows. And I wanted to know if, Mike, you need to do more of Floyd the Barber.
I just did Floyd the Barber like a week ago.
I know it. It's great.
I'd like to do Floyd the Barber.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's not possible anymore.
Hello, sure does he get a shovel.
Probably now a backhoe.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
My fiance's had 5 children, and it's still as tight as the day I met her.
So. Why are you marrying her if she's had 5 children already? Are they all yours?
No, that's the last one.
Are they all from different guys?
No, her ex-husband and me.
Wow, okay.
That's terrific. Well, enjoy the wedding. She won't be pregnant at the wedding, right?
We won't be having any more children.
Yeah. Jesus. Imagine that. You must really love her.
Hey, you know, we're doing...
You must really love her. She must be so stretched out.
This sounds like a guy that's having... Have you had a vasectomy?
I'm getting one.
I knew it.
He had
that tone in his voice. You know those guys that are like, she won't be having any more.
Yeah, all those guys that are so proud about the fact that they're having their life juice snipped away.
I tell you, it's another phenomenon we've never been able to explain on the show.
Never understood that.
The joyous calls from guys that have had vasectomy.
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy that woman who's already squeezed out 4 children with another man's demon seed. She was a whore. No way I'd go for that. Yeah. No way. Absolutely no way. I was watching the ESPN today, and they were doing a report about, who's that dead football player for Kansas City?
The guy that just died?
No, the guy that Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas, right.
Derek Thomas. And they were doing this story on him. They're really, really dissing him now that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how the story starts. It starts out by saying he didn't have a will.
Right.
And that lots of football players don't have wills because they think they're going to live forever.
Yes, it's the age primarily.
They're young, and they're vitalic, and they're on top of their game. Well, they go through and they say all the stuff about Derek Thomas, about what a wonderful guy he was and how he gave to charity all the time. And then they have a picture of this kid, a little like 2-year-old kid, and there's a woman there, a white woman, and she's holding up this picture of the kid, and she goes, "That's Daddy. Can you kiss Daddy?" And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, now, this is sad.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling bad. And then all of a sudden, they start putting up other kids' faces on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, what you may not have known about Derek Brooks is that...
Derek Thomas?
Derek Thomas, I'm sorry. He had fathered seven children.
Seven?
With five different women.
Oh!
And all of a sudden, they did a graphic.
Just like a montage of faces coming up on the screen?
Like pieces of a puzzle.
Wow.
All of a sudden, you got the one kid, then another one, then another one, then another one, then another one, then another one.
Seven?
Yeah. He never married any of the women.
All different mothers.
Seven kids, five different women.
Wow.
And no will or anything for
it. Leah Remini would say, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It was like they're doing this nice story that's making me feel bad that this great guy was dead.
Right. Sure.
And then all of a sudden, come on. And, you know, what the point of the story really is that they want to say, listen, he wasn't really such a great guy. He had all these illegitimate kids.
Oh, my God. That's some kind of, I don't know if that's some kind of record. I know Larry Bird. Didn't Larry Bird have a lot of different?
Oh, no, there's NBA guys that have like 12 or 13 kids. Really, there was an article in Sports Illustrated about how many NBA players have a million kids.
So he's not the record holder.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But you're right about Larry Bird. He has...
Yeah.
I don't know how many... He was on that list of NBA players.
Yeah, I remember when they were doing a thing on NBA players, and Larry Bird was mentioned.
Christ.
Well, I mean, when you're that good-looking, how can the women keep away?
There is some guy... I don't know who... I wish I could remember. The guy, maybe Sean Kemp. I don't want to say who it was because I'm not sure.
Okay.
Some NBA player who had the record, like 12 kids with 12 different women.
And that's the record holder?
I think so.
Very good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mary. I just wanted to confirm with you guys. I did labor and delivery at Fairfax Hospital for 12 years.
Yeah?
Oh, good. Fairfax Hospital. That's where my daughter was born.
Oh, I was probably there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to let you know that, yes, there are indeed some unscrupulous doctors that will put that stitch right there.
So it's, this is medical proof, but they'll do it without the woman knowing. Is that legal?
Well, yeah.
I guess the husband requests it.
What they're doing is like the repair.
Of course, if the husband requests it, then a woman can have an arm amputated.
Well, he'll sign the paper. Hold on. Thank you, Mary. Here's a girl who says she had it done. Did you have it done, Cindy?
Actually, no, I didn't have it done, but my husband requested it. Well, yeah, actually, I don't know if it's been done or not. I haven't gone back to the doctor. He requested it. Of course, I was laying there, and the doctor just kind of gave him a dirty look, and I don't know if she actually did it or not.
Was your husband trying to be funny?
I suppose, but he's kind of serious at the same time, too. I really didn't care.
I thought he was serious.
Sure.
I
just know that the joke goes, hey, put another stitch in it for Daddy. And then, you know, like, all I know, most women, if there's a scalpel nearby, you know, if she's got access to a weapon, you better be careful when you say that.
Wait, and all I know is if that happens, you better use a real strong stitching material. I mean, I'd hate for that stitch to break.
It heals together.
Well, I got it.
What do you think? It's going to be a permanent stitch, like a piece of rope down there?
I think a dissolving stitch.
They do. They dissolve. And,
okay.
And when she was doing the stitches, it sort of reminds me
of... Like a piece of dental floss.
It reminds you of, like, doing a turkey at Thanksgiving time.
Oh, my God. Well, we're getting more information now. We're getting some credible information. Right. You know, the guys are like, yeah, I was in the delivery room.
Here is a delivery nurse. Hello, Samantha.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi, baby.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I am a labor and delivery nurse at Arlington Hospital.
Right.
They have kicked dads out of the delivery room for asking that.
Hmm. Yeah, but most of the dads, correct me if I'm wrong, because I just want to be clear on this. When dads say that, it's just kind of a joke, right?
It is, but, you know, some OB ducks are
Just like any joke, in all jokes, there's some level, even if it's 0.1%, some level of seriousness.
Do women ever ask for it?
No, I've never heard a patient ask for it.
Have you ever seen it done? Has it ever been done in your experience?
What, the quote-unquote extra stitch?
Yes.
No.
All right, well, she doesn't want to say because she's named the hospital she works at.
The other lady said unscrupulous doctors.
Evil doctors. Tim.
Yes.
Hi.
It's very true, and they can make it so tight.
How do you know that, Tim?
My wife. She had it done.
Would you give me your wife's telephone number off the air?
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right, we'll see.
You want to know exactly how tight?
No. Until we talk to a woman who will actually say yes, I had it done.
I just want to point out, there's a type of guy that's calling and verify. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had it done.
Hello. Hey. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, this is for Boz.
All right.
Boz?
does. Have you ever heard of the Kegel exercise?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That's what makes all the difference in the world.
What is that? Some kind of vaginal exercise?
That's
Buzz?
Flexing. That's flexing. You learned that in Lamaze class.
Men and women can practice this and should because it keeps you healthy. You practice when you're urinating, you practice stopping and starting the stream over and over again. When you do that, you're exercising the Kegel or PC muscle.
It doesn't just have to be when you're urinating.
That gives men and women more control during sex.
I mean, you're supposed to do it when you're like...
You can just do it.
You can do it. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, I got it. I'm doing it right now, too.
I was, too.
Come on, Rob, do it with us.
I was.
This would be the gayest thing we've ever done on the show.
If I'm not mistaken, you see a movie about that in Lamaze class.
Really?
I think I saw. Surprised. I think I saw, you know, so it was Lamaze class, so I was
you were not paying attention.
Half paying attention.
Hello, Burke.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I've had a son already, and I had the stitch done, because I looked at it in the mirror after I had him, and then I'm pregnant again, and I've already told my OBGYN that I want two stitches this time, because I don't want it to get all loose and flappy, because it's gross.
There you go.
There it is.
So
there you go.
True.
This is a woman who's had it done.
I've seen it on myself.
She's had it done. Right. Beautiful. Thank you.
The you're end of,
the experiment is closed.
Thank you. And now you're not all floppy.
I look exactly like I did when I was 19. Exactly.
Tight, bright, and out of sight.
Perfect.
How much
Thank
would
you.
Be look and how much would be feel, though, Frank?
Actually, the Kegel exercises are going to do more for the feel.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But the cosmetic, the stitch, makes it look better.
Oh, so it's cosmetic, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. How does it look better cosmetically?
Well, because, like, if you look at a woman who has had, like, two children, it's all loose and floppy, like you said, and I'm not. I've had, like I said, one son, and it's just exactly the same.
What does it look like? Big wax lips or something? You know those
no,
things you get on the boardwalk?
It's nice and smooth. It's like, perfect, you know.
You know those big wax lips you can get on the boardwalk?
Yeah.
Those things that are made out of...
But they have teeth. Paraffin.
Well, no, not always.
No, sometimes they don't, yeah.
They're just the big wax lips. Just lips. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
Bye.
For calling. Thank you for telling us.
Well, that's what we were looking for. We were looking for a woman who actually had the procedure done.
I think we have one more girl on the line. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys today?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. I think that a guy, it doesn't matter as long as they can get it. You know?
What?
As long as they can get a piece, they don't care if it's stretched out or not.
No, and right. And you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right.
Cause, okay.
Because Frida is a little stretchy down there, but I love it whenever I can
That's
get
right.
there.
I've been educated because I always thought that was just a joke that you know guys would say in the delivery room when you know that woman just said, it's done.
I'm sure my wife's not happy that I said she's just a little stretched out. Just a little. She's
not, you're a brave man.
She's not like a rubber band. Hello, Beth.
Rubber band man.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
I've never had children, but I would have the extra stitch for my husband.
You would?
Yes, I would.
There you go.
Beautiful. Thank
for
you.
For his pleasure only.
For his pleasure.
For his pleasure only.
That's what maybe they should put a sign up in most hospitals. Stitched for his pleasure.
For his pleasure.
Do the exercise.
John and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, we've had two kids in the past 4 years.
Way to go.
And, she looks like a corned beef sandwich down there. Can I get her retrofitted or something?
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
Another happy man.
Goodbye. Clear those lines. Clear them out. That's a good one to end on. She looks like a corned beef sandwich down there.
Hallelujah.
Clear the lines. Let's try to give away $500 right now with the Secret Sound. Secret Sound number one.
All right.
Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
Hey, Rob, when are we going back to the Carnegie Deli?
We will be back. Caller 100 coming right now.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show. True, true.
True, true. Time for Caller 100. Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'm caller 100.
Yes, yes, you are. What's your name, my friend?
Mark.
Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Mark?
Yes.
Listening on JFK Jr., you've won a Stuff of the Month gift pack. Log on to stuffofthemonth.com. Make every month a holiday by sending her lingerie monthly.
Cool.
Are you ready to go for the big box for $500?
All right.
All right, we have the brand new Secret Sound. Have you heard it yet?
Yes, I have.
All right, well, then we'll play it for you again, give you a fresh listen, give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Robert Goulet, and we do wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
There it is.
common, everyday sound. And I think except for one guy yesterday, we haven't had a lot of really dumb guesses yet.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you.
For $500, what is that sound?
Is it a staple gun?
Would you repeat that?
Is it a staple gun?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
Absolutely not.
No, okay. I thought he was close there.
So pedestrian. No, it's not a staple gun.
Okay.
Wow. I promise. Hold on. Please remember, though, every guess is a clue
for you.
For ye. And we will do this again very shortly.
Good.
Buzz just handed me a drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
oh, I'm sorry. Started. I'm on the air now.
A VH1 Behind the Music drinking game.
Right.
This is very much like the Star Trek drinking games. And every time Picard would say engage, mm-hmm. you would have to drink. Or like a Seinfeld game when they would say George or Elaine, you'd have a drink.
They're all similar.
I mean, if you follow this game, you will be bombed mm-hmm. watching any Behind the Music on VH1.
Okay.
And I think over the weekend I saw maybe the most obscure Behind the Music yet.
Who was it?
Badfinger.
Oh, my yeah. God.
You know, Badfinger like had...
how many hits?
Baby Blue.
Yeah.
And is it Day by Day or Day After Day?
Come and Get It?
Right. No, that was Redbone, Buzz.
Oh, if You Want It.
If You Want It.
Here it is, come and get it.
Who did that?
That's also Bad Fat. Yeah, you're right, Buzz. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Father Time.
So what's the other one? I know that one. What,
Baby Blue.
This one. Bow, 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 bow. Still don't get it.
What I've been
I'm following along.
Did you know?
I do not get it.
I don't either.
Okay. Well,
what's the other one? Just because I like watching you do this. What's the other one besides Baby Blue?
Yeah, that was it, Ross. Yeah,
my Baby Blue.
Baby Blue. Come and Get It. And,
Day After Day.
Oh, okay, I know that one.
I give my love to you day after day. Right. They're pretty lame. They had their own behind the music.
They don't deserve a behind the music. I'm sorry.
They got a behind the music because they were the first band that was signed by Apple, mm-hmm. which was Paul and John's label.
They were the first band after the Beatles,
right? Yep. To be signed on Apple, and they had a couple of hits. So anyway, they were on Behind the Music. Let me see. You're supposed to have a drink anytime a band member dies or nearly dies.
Oh, you see, that's a little tough there.
You have a double.
You could look at, Keith Moon if they were doing a profile on The Who. You know, if it's nearly dying, you know.
You have a double if this death or near death breaks up the group.
Okay.
You missed No Matter What.
No matter what you are. Oh,
that's a great song.
I will always be with you. No matter what you do, girl.
Oh, man.
Around. No matter what you ask,
great song.
We'll always be with you.
That's Iron Finger, huh?
Well, Badfinger.
Badfinger.
That's four hits for Badfinger.
How about that?
Okay, four. Also have a drink whenever a family member dies or nearly dies.
Mm-hmm.
Have a drink whenever someone on Behind the Music files for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Have a drink whenever someone is arrested for DWI.
Oh, yeah.
Have a drink whenever someone is taken to the emergency room for a drug-related emergency.
Drink. You're not going to be able to get through a Behind the Music without being slaughtered.
Exactly. Drink twice if it's for anything else. Have one drink whenever someone in the band enters rehab. Have one drink whenever someone in the band attempts suicide, as opposed to committing suicide.
I tell you, the way this game works, you'll be in rehab by the end of the evening.
Have a drink whenever someone says, I wouldn't do anything different if I had it all to do again.
That's pretty funny. That is, you know, if you really followed the rules of that game, that might be a fun Friday night.
Have one drink if the rock star looks worse than he or she did when they were popular. Have two drinks if he or she looks better than when they were popular.
That's interesting, because and I would believe that you'd be able to have both scenarios play out.
Have a drink whenever they have to bleep a word out.
Tell you, the effing band. I said F you.
Have one drink if they talk about lying on the floor with a needle stuck in their arm.
Mm-hmm.
Have two drinks if the scene described happened in a hotel. Have one drink if they talk about firing the manager, record producer, whoever made them big. Have one drink if they talk about finding salvation through their children. Have one drink if they're talking about having a forthcoming album or huge comeback tour planned.
Sure.
Drink twice if all of the members of the group are involved. Drink any time behind the music uses shots of opulent cars or homes, heavy gauzy filters on aging musicians,
gauzy filters,
subtitles. Drink twice if you have to turn the closed captioning on your TV to understand what someone is saying. Drink once whenever the announcer says, at that time, they were the biggest band in the world. Drink twice if someone in the band says it. Let me see. And if you're curious, there have only been two situations where someone looks better now than they did then.
Do they give them?
Yes, they are. Rick Springfield and Phil Collin from Def Leppard.
Really?
Those are supposedly the two guys who actually
look better.
Look better.
That's interesting.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Al Bania with you. And here they are right now. Badfinger. Can't I
magazine in there with the Maxim Hot 100. Pictures of all the girls and everything.
Are you aware of this? That, you know, we've been talking with Maxim magazine for about 5 months to have them print our list of the 100 hottest women of the millennium. And we sent them the list, and we had our pictures taken. We had the gay picture of us taken.
Yeah, those photos, I'd like to know where they are, you know. I mean,
Rich McMillan has them, the guy who used to be the editor of Maxim magazine.
We should bring them out and sign them sometime.
Or used to be an associate editor of Maxim magazine. So what they did is they axed our list. They took the list that we were going to run. This guy who I know, he got fired from Maxim magazine. He called me up and he said, I got bad news. I canceled your list.
We ought to call Maxim magazine and bust their chops a little bit.
I would love to. But, and what this guy's saying is absolutely true. What they did instead of running our list was they just made their own list of the 100 hottest women.
We got to find the number of the editor-in-chief.
Do that, Robbie.
Let's do that.
Do that.
That's, you know, that's unacceptable.
Let me get Rich McMillan on the phone, too. Because he's the guy who was the original contact who got fired from Max.
I was excited about that. I was looking forward
to
that.
Sure. Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Yeah, they ripped us off.
That sucks.
They ripped us off big time. That blows. Thank you.
No problem.
Blows.
Yeah, because, I mean, I pictured, the one thing I was looking forward to was seeing the two male models, male models.
With their shirts off.
I didn't care about the list so much, but just seeing the with our names underneath each of the pictures, that would have cracked me up.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, not a mic.
Yes, hi.
What's up? That girl Bertha called earlier, that's my fiance, and I can vouch for that. That's definitely true. She's just like a high school girl.
All right, thank you, sir.
You're
still talking about the vaginal stitch, I believe.
That's good. I wonder if the police would like to know how he knows what just like a high school girl is.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Barbara Streisand. Am I on your list?
Hey, you old cow. No, you're not.
Hey, Barbara, you sure don't sound like you're ready to sing at the MGM Grand with that voice.
Well, but I'll tell you one thing I do like to do. I do like to eat Jimmy's...
Oh, dear. His pickle?
Yeah, well, yes.
Jimmy, of course, being James Brolin.
Right, JB.
Jimmy.
JB.
She calls him Jimmy.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
I'm ashamed of you.
Why?
Because you used to sing the Grassroots song all the time. And now you're picking on Badfinger.
Somebody,
and they're the same era.
Is somebody that's confusing us?
Yeah, yes.
Why do people confuse?
I don't know.
Isn't it pretty clear who's who?
The likes and dislikes of each of us have been documented.
I know, but they're basically the same type of music.
No, honey, hold on.
Wait, let's just stop. And just, ma'am, I'm going to ask you just to stop and listen for a second.
Okay.
Yes?
I'm Don.
And I'm Mike.
Now, me, Don. Hold on.
You're not able to do it, are you? That's your problem.
No, I know who is.
No, listen.
Mike was the one that sang the Grassroots.
No.
Oh,
wrong.
I'm trying to tell you. Cunny. You're such a cunny.
Shut it up.
No, don't call me that.
Listen, don't act that way and I won't call you that.
What did I say before? I said, don't talk.
All right.
And if you don't talk, you'll be able to understand it all when we're done, all right? Don't talk until we say it's okay to talk.
All right, now listen. I'm Don.
And I'm Mike.
Me, Don, I like the Grassroots. I've performed with the Grassroots 3 different times.
Me, Mike, I like drinking games and golf.
Okay?
Okay, I was incorrect. I thought it was Mike that was with the Grassroots or sang with the Grassroots.
Yes. No, Don did that.
I apologize.
All right, but what does that have to do with Badfinger?
Because they were in the same era. And they kind of basically sounded the same. And you're condemning Badfinger.
How do we condemn Badfinger?
I'm not condemning Badfinger. I would say the same thing. You dumb twat. I would say the same thing if the Grassroots were on Behind the Music. They don't deserve to be on Behind the Music.
Well, I didn't see the Badfinger Behind the Music.
What?
I didn't see that. So I don't know. I didn't know if they were like a little...
Now, listen, any band like that, Badfinger... Three Dog Night, the Grassroots, none of those bands belong on Behind the Music.
Okay, Dick, I understand now.
Okay, twat. All right, just so we understand each other.
All right, prick, thank you so much.
All right, Cunny.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
I thought that went well.
That would have gone so much better. Except she's another one of the people who calls this show,
right,
who has the facts wrong,
mm-hmm,
and wants to just...
Wither out.
Just push right through. Right.
Wither out. And it's happened, like, that thing with between you and me has happened a couple of times, like, in the last week.
Like a million times in half.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Just know which one of us is which one if you're going to call and talk about something with one of us.
Yeah. Mike, when you sang with the Grassroots, shut up!
Yeah, right.
Cut it out.
Please.
I'm the one that had Dennis Murphy at my house, all right? That's it.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
In an adult diaper.
Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, I was going to say, by the time you got through drinking all those drinks with the VH1 thing, the artist might start looking pretty good.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I guess the exterminator came and killed the cricket.
Bye-bye.
And speaking of the Grassroots and your singing with them...
Right, this would be from...
You know we're taping this, don't you? Okay, Don.
We'll play it tomorrow.
Okay, Don.
From my 1998 performance with them.
The sound of your footsteps.
It's to me with the grassroots.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike O'Mara.
That's me.
This is the one where you really sang the whole thing. Not like the first one when you just did the chorus.
Is this the good one or the bad one?
This is the good one.
This is the good one. To say, this is the one I really practiced for,
right?
I'm not goofing on this. I'm really trying to sing. That's me.
That's you.
I have to ask.
I think it's time for me to say that this summer at the Montgomery County Fair, I will be singing with Badfinger.
All right. That's moving to grassroots.
And then the last time they came to town, you couldn't make it. And I had scheduled just an evening out with my family at the mall.
Oh, right. That's what they were playing at the mall. But that's when
they were, cranky. I've never heard anything in a mall that was that loud.
That's when Rob Grill came in here and sang with us.
And Rob was there. Rob went by just to see them.
Rob Spiewak went with you.
And I went in there and it was great. It sounded great in the mall.
I love the Mike show. I know. That's sad. They're playing in the shopping mall.
Well, wasn't it county fair?
It went from county
craft
fair
festival
to craft festival to shopping mall.
Right, that was
great 70s.
Yeah, but they packed them all.
Yeah, he's laughing all the way to the bank though.
Sure.
I mean, they get big bucks for
it's
that.
Very joyous. They got like $35,000 a show.
That's right.
I love the grassroots. Mm-hmm. Hello, Vince.
Hey, yes, Dad and Mike.
Hi.
Listen, I just got in my car on the way to work, and I heard you talking about the Behind the Music game. It should come with a warning as far as the Motley Crue episode is concerned, because that will kill people.
You're right.
Tommy Lee using the F word alone will give you a 0.50 blood alcohol.
You know another good one that would drive you crazy? Have you seen the Poison one?
No, I have not seen Poison.
Yeah, CeCe DeVille's Ignorance Alone.
Yes.
That was unbelievable.
You know, I'm trying to get down to the music channels. I rarely make it down there. I watched a little TRL last night, you know, because I want to try to figure out what's going on with it. I caught the very end of TRL because I want to hate Carson Daly as much as you do.
I turn it on any night.
I just got to watch him more often, and I got enough of him not to like him.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
I know that if I'd logged a good 10 minutes with it, it
you'll
would be raw
him.
Hatred.
You will absolutely freaking hate him.
It was obscured by the Britney Spears video, which was where she's wearing that red jumpsuit.
Oh, oops, I did it again.
Yeah. Everything got kind of
nice.
Mushy at that point.
Bet she's still real tight. Real tight. No stitches.
No, of course
not. How old is she? Is she,
19
now?
Britney Spears?
19?
Yeah.
Legal.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, 19.
Hello.
It's always Steely Dan with you, isn't
it? Yes, it is. It always gets back to them.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that we really appreciate it, that even though you stuck at singing, that you just belted out.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not sure.
That's one of those weird compliments.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you.
For those of us who can't sing, we appreciate that.
I bet this is a woman who does this, like, to her family, too, you know?
I'll tell you, you look so nice in that dress. It really was flattering.
You know, that's the kind of thing that you say, and then like the family member go, oh, well, thank you, and then you walk out of the room and they go, was she just being her nasty self?
No, I'm not nasty.
No, she's trying to be nice. Uh-huh. Thank you.
I am trying to be nice, because I can't sing either.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, honey.
Hey, bye.
Oh, you go ahead. What the heck? Eat all you want. Does it really matter?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That's more in line with
absolutely
what you're talking
sure
about.
Hello? Hello?
If you can't enjoy yourself, what's the point of living?
You are really very attractive for someone who's a bit older.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Bert, why are you making fun of them? Jack's in a band, but Bert, you sing too, don't you?
Hey, listen, let me tell you, my friend. I don't sing.
Can you really fit through a hole the size of your nose, Bert?
Hey, thank you for calling, my friend. I appreciate that.
No, thank you, my friend.
It doesn't matter how small that hole is, if there's a piece of cheese on the other side.
Hey, thank you.
I like that.
Love you. I love you guys.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Got to get to the tanning salon.
Time out. Oh, here's one more. You don't sweat much for a fat woman. They wouldn't say fat. They say for large.
For a large woman.
You don't sweat a lot for being a large woman.
Yes. Welcome to our dinner. Boy, you smell a lot better than you did last year.
Todd.
Yes.
I have to go to a break. Todd, hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Radio gods.
Yes.
I don't tell you guys, the Badfinger, the whole reason I have it behind the music on it, I think might be because of this trivia question I have in this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's, the question is, how many members of Badfinger successfully committed suicide?
Oh, hold on. I want to play this game. I didn't get that from the show.
It's funny to use that word successful.
But that's just it. You know, you're like, well, who screws up a suicide attempt?
A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess only one person was able to kill themselves from Badfinger. Mike?
I'm going
to
say two.
Buzzy?
I'll say three.
And the answer is?
How many?
Two.
Two.
I knew it.
You're the big winner, Mike.
Yeah, I knew it. I was certain. I'm a big Badfinger fan.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You go.
Goodbye.
It's always, you know, in my CD player, it's like Badfinger or the Grassroots. Which one do I
play? We will be right back.
This is Phil. Phil. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, we did send Toya back out.
Yes.
To talk to more ugly people.
Is she back?
Yeah, she's back. Why don't you bring her in, please, Robbie? I'd like to see if she has the interviewing technique down.
Very good.
This time, because the way that she was screwing it up earlier was by first telling people that she was from the Don and Mike Show. She said, do you know who Don and Mike are?
Yeah, immediately puts people in a defensive crouch.
And then instead of asking people, do you think you're ugly, she said, do you ever think you're ugly?
Do you ever think
you're
ugly? Just softened it a little bit. Right. So here she is.
Toya!
Toya.
Look how fixed up she is.
Oh, hi, Toya.
Look at that.
Hi.
Look how hot she is. Look at that. Wearing like a low-cut top.
Did you dress that way to make people more receptive to your questions?
No, I'm trying to fit into my spring-summer look.
Oh, okay.
So trying to find it.
Well, looking good, Toya.
I'm experimenting.
Are those extensions, or is that your real hair?
No, it's not.
They're extensions.
Yeah.
Can you take them out?
No.
You can't take them out? Mm-hmm. Where does your real hair end, and where do the extensions begin?
Nowhere. It's braided up, so none of this is mine that you can see.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow, okay.
That is very cool.
Now we're
staring at your hair.
And, right. And lower. That's the most low-cut top you've ever worn to work, I think.
Yeah. Maybe I should have worn it tomorrow so Buzz could put latex on me.
Oh! Hey. All right. Would you let Buzz do that to your breasts at the show tomorrow night?
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to be bare-breasted for him to do that.
Oh. Maybe not.
Maybe not, but would you think about it?
I'll think about it.
Think about it.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, that'll be a big answer for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You've never been to a Vegas-style show, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, boy.
It's a wild evening.
Oh, the Vestal Virgin.
Yes, it's a truly wild evening. Ah, you'll be one for the sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. When you went out again for the second time.
Yeah.
Did you tell people you were the show?
No.
Okay, good.
I didn't, because I was in the car and I heard you.
Ah, right.
Oh, good. So you heard the whole critique of your first tape.
Right.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah.
So you didn't soften the second question, right?
I think maybe on one or two of them, but it was so hard to find people because a lot of people weren't out.
Right.
And there were a lot of young people out. I guess it's spring break.
Young, attractive people?
Whatever. Yeah.
Young people can be ugly.
Not being a commercial-looking type.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. So no guys like, let me ask you, if you saw that guy, you know the guy in the E-Trade ad?
Uh-huh.
If you saw that guy, would you consider him ugly? Would he be a guy that you would go up to?
Stewart.
Yes.
I would.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right, just making sure. If you saw David Heinlein, would you go up, if you saw him on the street, would you walk up to him as an ugly person? Would you? Yeah.
Yay!
Of course.
All right.
Good. And finally, at the risk of someone getting their head shot off, let me ask you, if you saw Wendell Hall. our engineer, walking into an establishment, would he be one of the people you approached?
Nope.
There you go. Okay.
Good answer.
That was
good
the right
answer.
Great answer.
All right, thank you.
He's much better looking than David Hanlon.
All right. Do you describe the people that you interview on the tape here?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
All right, you're excused.
Thank you very much,
Toya.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Think about that tomorrow night at the show.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Bye, Buzz.
Bye.
Think about that.
She is crazy about you, Buzz.
I'm kind of fond of her, too.
I think she wants something from you, Buzz.
Oh, that couldn't be possible.
She's very fond of you.
She wants your glow stick.
We are just sitting in here. She has to talk to us, but she wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
She's a nice girl. I like her.
She likes the white devil. She likes Buzz. Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, hello.
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 I got the biggest redneck Walmart for you.
For what?
For you to go interview ugly people.
Oh, no. Toya's already gone out to interview more ugly people. Thank you, though, Gary.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Here
Have a nice day, Gary.
Here's Jeff in San Francisco. Jeff.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I am not ugly. How you doing? Hey, your favorite website, plushies.com, comes from your least favorite magazine, Maxim. They first published that about 4 months ago, and it was one of their crazy little lists, you know, that you're not included in.
Is this the same guy that called originally about the plushies.com website?
No, but I heard it, and I'm thinking, hey, that's from their favorite magazine. And then I finally got a call today, and I'm thinking, hey, that's from their least favorite magazine.
Do you own any plushies, sir?
Well, I do, and one actually has a little hole right where the... Guess what?
Right.
I'm innocent.
Let's go to Scott in Seattle.
Got a honeymoon stitch on that.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you guys had a story yesterday about some kids that had a subscription to a skateboarding mag, and they got a porno mag instead.
Right. Yes.
And you also had a Dr. Laura story there where there's a connection. It turns out a few months ago, both these magazines, by the way, are published by Larry Flint.
Great American, who we've had on the show before. Also had his son on the show a few times, Larry Flint Jr.
His son was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Was he crippled?
No, not like his father.
Oh, all right. Anyway, Dr. Laura takes Derek to a mall in L.A. to go shopping. It was a surf shop, right?
Who is Derek?
Her son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, anyway, she's waiting for him to try on all these pants, and there's these magazines, and one of them is a skateboarding magazine, and she starts going through it, and obviously there were some stories in there that she found objectionable.
No, this is a true story. This is absolutely out of love. I've heard this before.
So she went on the radio for the next 3 days on her 700 radio stations bashing this guy that owns a surf shop and this magazine, basically trying to run this guy out of business.
Right, and didn't he sue her?
I don't know if he...
I think he sued, and I think she has settled with this guy, I think, mm-hmm. from everything that I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I just, I just thought everybody would enjoy hearing just exactly what True Colors Dr. Laura has.
Oh, everybody knows.
Power.
Come on, she's that deified on the show.
You know, the one thing you read on this show that really painted a picture of her was when you read the requisite she has, mm-hmm. the requisite items she has to have when she goes on tour.
Oh, right. It's
like hysterical.
It's like Van Halen, like Van freaking Halen. And all the stuff that she needs when she goes out to do an appearance somewhere.
It was so funny. It really was amazing. And that to me, painted the real picture.
Oh, listen, as long as we're on the topic of radio, before we get to Toya's tape.
Yes.
I did want to share this with you. There's this guy I know, Chuck Knapp.
Chuck Knapp. Right. We've never spoken of him on the show.
No, but he's a good guy. He's a guy who worked at WLS in Chicago when I worked there. You know, I do have a soft spot in my heart, although I hate most modern radio people.
Yes.
I like all these guys who I knew when I was climbing the ladder, all the guys that were nice to me, all the big-time disc jockeys. Mm-hmm. And I would put this guy, Chuck Knapp, in the same category as... What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because I was wondering if you got a chance to see the news, Channel 4 News.
Oh, yes,
you were talking about old disc jockeys.
Yes.
That old 70s picture.
With his Prince Valiant haircut.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I saw him last night.
WABC 803, Sunday in New York at WABC, and Billy Martin is officially back as manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Trust me. Ah, yes. I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
Yeah, here in D.C., during the sweeps, Channel 4 is now so desperate.
Yep.
the news guy.
They interviewed Arch Campbell, who is the feature reporter for Channel 4, interviewed George Michael about music in the 70s.
Who used to be a disc jockey about Top 40 radio.
That's right.
And they had this awful tape of George Michael with the worst Beatle Prince Valiant haircut ever seen in my life.
It was truly amazing. It was.
So anyway, listen, about disc jockeys. And that, yeah, you know what? I think you're right, Rob. It was all a way of promoting
the 70s show.
That awful show, the 70s.
Right, right, exactly.
When I really thought it was just a promotion for people in their 70s. Because that's how old George Michael is, in his 70s.
And do you see the interview where he's talking about music? And he just, you know how it is when an old guy kind of talks about music? It was weird.
He's so old.
Very weird.
So old.
Oh, no.
You know, someday I'm going to tell the true story about George Michael on this show.
Sure.
About George Michael and Alan Goodman.
Ah, yeah.
Someday I will.
Someday.
Someday I will.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably be really pissed if he ever knew the truth, though.
Yeah, probably be a little upset.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, with his belt buckle. His cowboy hat.
You know, I think we could tell that. Why couldn't we tell that?
It's your call.
Well, I don't see why we couldn't.
I don't know.
We're honest with our audience now, right?
Sure.
I mean, we didn't used to be honest with our audience. We worked at the other station.
I'm just wondering whether it's a good idea to tell that or not.
All right.
Statute of limitations and all.
Well, we didn't do anything illegal. Just a scam.
Yeah.
Just a scam that he got involved in.
Well, no, he wasn't involved in it.
At all. No, but I'm talking about
him down.
Yeah,
but just remember... Yeah, if you're going to tell the story, tell it correctly.
I know, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't
that's
know.
That's what I'm saying. I'll tell the whole story.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny story. I think we should tell it. What do you think?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Come on, why?
I don't know. It's just, the little things going off in my head. I'm not sure. I don't think it could hurt anybody.
No, I don't think
so. That's the thing. Nobody'd be hurt.
I think it shows how far we've come.
Yes.
That we would be willing to talk about a scam that we were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it certainly is the type of thing that we talk about other disc jockeys doing.
Right.
You know, when disc jockeys say that they're suspended.
Right.
When we tell you that we know something is made up, that we know
sure,
that
it's a publicity stunt.
Something's being done as a publicity stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's no big deal.
No, it really isn't.
It's no big deal. It was a long time ago, about 10 years ago, when Mike and I were doing the Morning Zoo show. We would get suspended like once every 3 months. But we'd only get suspended because the station knew that if they suspended us...
It would be good fodder.
That, like, it would be the lead story on the Channel 4 news. And what they had was they had a tape that was already pre-made that says, WAVA apologizes for the comments made yesterday on the Don and Mike Morning Zoo. Don and Mike are suspended today and will be back tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is, every time that we were suspended, we had never really said anything bad.
Right.
They just did it, you know, to get us on the TV news. Right. So, one time, it's been a long time since we pulled that scam.
Sure.
And our general manager said, we're having a meeting with him, and he said, hey.
We had said something that was very controversial. I forgot what it was.
It was nothing that was awful, though. It might have been like, was it the Gloria Estefan thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Whatever it was nothing awful, but it was something that, he got a couple of complaint calls.
I think it was contractual, I thought. I thought it was something about the contractor. We were complaining about being there and complaining about management to
that could have been it.
Because I know when a certain individual, when George was brought in, he was brought in to mediate.
Okay,
Am I right about that?
Yes,
you know, no, you're right,
because it was us against them.
If we're going to tell this story, I want to make sure we get it
correct.
Right.
Okay. So, and this is where part of it's not made up and part of it's real. That at the time, we really were frustrated working at this radio station we were working at.
Right.
And we did want to get out of our contract, and we did hate having a guy who counted how many records an hour we played.
And we were very upset, and we spent the better part of one show just railing against the staff. I'm patching this together because I don't remember exactly how it happened.
I think it was during the Matt Farber era. Wasn't Matt the PD then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, we had a program director who was just... His knowledge of radio could be fit in a thimble. The guy was just the dumbest guy we'd ever worked for. And he didn't like the fact that we talked about the behind-the-scenes stuff on the radio. And the more he said, don't talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff, the more we did it. And we would get conflicting messages because the general manager loved it. The general manager would always come. The general manager was on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Matt Farber, who was the program director, hated being on the show. So I think you're absolutely right. One day, for whatever reason... We got called into the GM's office.
And bear with us here, because we're working off memory, and it was significant at the time, but it's not something that we remember exactly what all.
But I'm going to get to the gist of it. This is where George is involved. That we get called into Alan Goodman's office as general manager, and he says, "You know what I think? It's about time for another suspension."
Right.
And we all sat around his desk.
Didn't we go to like a hotel room or something?
Yes, we did.
To plot this.
Yes, we did. Because it had been about a year since we'd played this trick,
right,
where we get suspended and then we're the lead story on the news, like what has happened to Don and
I don't think it happened that way, because I will tell you this. I don't think we were as influential in this, because I believe that you and I thought that management was legit. Alan was legitimately upset. And then at that point, it was kind of like, I don't want to say it was his idea, but it was his idea.
Well, I don't remember any of. All I know is that we weren't really suspended.
We were not really suspended.
From WAVA.
Okay. We weren't really suspended, and you were not as mad at Alan as everybody thought you were.
Right. Right. They don't be
but
very.
Everybody thought, and I think, didn't George make an offer to you
yes.
know, he'd heard about this?
And yes. And now George
Michael.
Or
you called him or something like that?
He called me. That okay. I remember. George Michael used to come, like, on April Fool's Day, he would come in and play records on our show. We'd take a day off, and George would come in and play records. And we used to have George on our show all the time. So anyway, the story gets out that once again, we've been suspended for something.
They were mad at management.
Right. Well, George calls up, and he says, "Oh, listen, you can't do this, man. You're gonna throw away your beautiful career.
Right.
You can't do this." Now, keep in mind.
Didn't he say something like, "Let me talk to Alan"?
Yeah. I can't say to him, "George, it's a scam." They were just,
yeah, you were kind of like in between a rock and a hard place.
We're trying to get on Channel 4, so I told George, call Alan Goodman, the general manager.
And the thread of truth through the whole thing is we were legitimately upset.
We were. But we were also at the same time working with Al to stoke this fire.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. So what happens is, now this part I do remember vividly.
This is the part in Alan's office?
Yeah, I remember you and me and Alan in Alan's office before George arrived. And Alan was running us through our parts, saying, "Now, you guys are going to be very mad. I'm going to be very mad. George is going to come in. Then I'm going to excuse you guys from the office."
I wasn't in that. You were in that with George, because I remember coming in after the fact. Because the big powwow, because George was your buddy, the big powwow I couldn't sit in on. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
I had to, like, stay out in the hallway while this is going on, while this charade
giant
is going on. And I remember coming in, that's the first time I saw the big buckle and the jeans.
So George comes in, and we have this fake meeting. I mean, George doesn't know it's fake, but it's fake.
Now, what happened
in the
meeting?
What happens is, Alan talks to George.
Right.
Alan Goodman, the general manager, talks to George Michael.
Individually first,
yes.
before I
get in.
Right.
Then they call me in, and George says, "Listen, why can't you guys just work together? You guys do a great show. Alan just wants to support the show." And at this point, I'm just playing along. I said, "Okay, fine. That's good. Let's get Mike in here."
Mm-hmm.
Then Mike comes in.
That's when everybody's standing up. I remember that. Everybody milling around the conference room. These little memories come back.
We're standing around. We're shaking hands.
Right.
And I remember then that they went on the air, and they said, "You and I were not on the air that day."
We were not on the air.
They went on the air. Whoever was on the air went on the air and said, "Listen, we have great news. Don and Mike aren't suspended anymore, and we want to thank George Michael from Channel 4. And George called up and got on the air and said, "Hey, I'm just glad to help out Don and Mike, and I'm glad to help Wava through this." And
that's right.
The whole thing, he never knew.
That's it.
He never knew.
Now he knows, along with everybody else.
He thought he was helping. Yeah, he thought he was helping. When actually it was, you know, it was just, I mean, we used to do crap like that to get on TV all the time.
If I remember this correctly, it was something along the lines of, you know, "I really should suspend you guys for what you did. Wait a minute. Maybe I really will."
And it was something like, you know, "We haven't done that for a long time."
And we became, you know, a more cohesive unit with management, at least for that month, you know, for about a month after that.
Right.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that was a fake suspension. That's how we know when a disc jockey says he's being suspended.
Yeah, because we've done it.
That's how we know it's fake.
Sure.
I mean, if you really do something that's really bad, the disc jockey doesn't come on and talk about it, and management doesn't come on and talk about it. It's just one day.
Right.
You're gone.
Sure.
You're just not there.
Absolutely.
Now, we've been through that also. We've been through the real suspension. We've been through the real break in a contract where really we were off the air for 4 months.
We've been through sitting down with a general manager who said, this new company that's coming in is very interested. The meeting was with a guy named Randy Bondgarten where he looked us in the eye.
He was the worst.
His sole purpose, let me explain this. His sole purpose for coming into the radio station as the new general manager, which we didn't know at the time, was really to assist in the sale of the radio station.
And what they were going to do is sell the station to a bunch of goddamn Christians who were going to make it a religious format.
And his job was to come in and just make sure everything functioned. And apparently he had done this at many other properties. When he would come in, he was like the hatchet man who would be responsible for unloading the radio station. We didn't know this, and he sat down with us, and we said, we're very concerned about the station being sold. And he looked at us 2 weeks before the sale was announced, and he said, we have no intention of selling this radio station, when to sell these kind of properties takes months. And he had to have known this for months in advance.
He just was playing us.
Just right. A total, just rat bastard.
What typical. A tool he was. He was the worst. Randy Bungarden was the worst general manager we've ever worked for.
And then, after they did sell it, they brought in the Christian broadcasters who looked at us and said, we fully intend to keep your show on. And that's when we said, we're out of here.
We said goodbye.
You know, we said, okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and then we respect that. And then we literally walked.
And then we walked off. Mm-hmm. And that was real.
Mm-hmm.
That was real. And then I'll give you a clue about
that. That was a nervous summer, too.
How real it was, because we walked off, and the next day, the radio station went on the air. They had a promo, and they said, WAVA has gone on a diet. We cut 500 pounds of ugly fat from our morning show.
Because the guys that stayed behind, who, I'm happy to say, were all eventually fired by the Christian Broadcasting Company anyway. They were all the guys that, Chuck Beck,
yes,
who stuck around.
And Frank.
You know, and who dissed us because we had the foresight to realize this is just not going to happen.
Listen, there's no way that a Christian radio company is going to keep our show. There's
absolutely
no way.
Absolutely not. They were lying. We knew they were lying. We just walked. And so they're dissing us on the air.
That's how you know it's real. Mm-hmm. When the radio station's coming on talking about how fat and ugly we are, that's when you know that the ties have really been cut.
And then it was the rest of the summer basically waiting to see if we could get the job here,
1991.
Which we eventually got. But that was a very, very... Not only were we sitting at home, not only were we out of work at the time, and we didn't know whether we were going to have the gig, but we had to listen to the radio station with all the people that we had worked with, you know,
for five years.
All their little personal vendettas, like
right.
That. Guy
every day was the reason why we hate Don and Mike Day.
Absolutely.
On WAVA.
Absolutely.
Every single day they get on the morning show and they say, hey, good morning, it's 6 o'clock. Guess what? This hour you're going to hear 12 records. You know why? Because Don and Mike aren't here this morning.
Because the program director foolishly thought that, hey, they're gone now, and now I can really slam them, and hey, right. You know, they're going to keep me on. No, not the case.
Hey, don't you remember the week they had Frank do the morning show?
Oh, my God.
For 1 week they had a producer do the show by himself. The Great Shakes.
Right.
Frank Murphy. R.I.P.
That was the moment of truth for Frank Murphy, I believe.
Yes, because we wanted to bring him with us here.
Right.
And he made a salary demand that was out freaking outrageous.
And that was where we parted company with Frank.
So he said, listen, we're quitting. We'd like you to come with us. And he said, no, I feel more comfortable staying here.
And he did, and it was just a few weeks later, they were all gone.
We said goodbye.
This company came in, I think it was Salem Communications.
Yeah, they still own the station.
They had their agenda. They didn't want top 40 people in there.
I mean, you look at the portfolio of the stations that they own. They own 25 radio stations. All 25 of them are Christian radio stations.
Right. That's what they wanted to do. We were not a mix for that station.
Right, they called me and Mike and they sat us down and said, we love your show. We're not going to change your show at all. And
right.
We walked out of the office and we said, these guys are lying to
I
us.
Believe you might have said something to me, and I remember it. You might have said, well, we just found out Christians can lie too.
Yeah.
It was funny. It really was.
Neffers.
But we can lie too, because we lied to George.
Yeah.
And we've lied to George all these years.
That was a little white lie.
I mean, every time we see George, he brings it up to me.
Does he really?
Yeah, he'll say to me, he said to me at the Redskins game last year.
Right.
You remember that time I saved your ass? You owe me, Geronimo. You owe me.
What are you going to say to him when you see him at the Redskins games this year?
Going to avoid him.
That might be hard to do. You know, George, he might find you.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we'll be doing our Super Bowl show, and all of a sudden the big hand will come down with his jewelry on it, you know. Hey. What are you doing?
So anyway, we weren't really suspended, but George thought we were, and then George thought that he got us out of the jam. Mm-hmm. And right. And George went on Channel 4 that night and talked about it.
We were very happy and thankful that he
it was nice. It was nice of him to do that.
That he would have done that if there had been.
Do you remember the good old days when we used to play Channel 4?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, be sitting at home at night. I call Mike up. I go, turn on Live at 5. And there would be all four of them, the news guy, the news girl,
right,
the weather guy, and the sports guy, and they were just talking about us.
Talking about us because we called them up in the morning.
Right.
Like when Katie Couric used to be the anchor lady,
mm-hmm,
you know, one of them would say to her, hey, I heard Don and Mike called you and asked you about your panties today. You know, asked you about your underpants today.
That's right. That's right.
We should call you and go, do you believe this? Do you believe how stupid these people are? That they are talking about us on the news?
And here they are on the TV, which at the time we thought was the be-all end of. They're
sure
on the TV!
Talking about us.
Sure.
Well, they learned. They don't talk about us anymore.
No,
not a bit.
No. Nobody does. Nobody writes about us. Nobody talks about us. People just, they just avoid us.
The only story that we're going to be the lead is the day we die.
Absolutely.
The day we die, then they will break in for a bulletin.
That's right.
Say, hallelujah. Hello, Channel 4 listeners.
Slimy potty talker. Dead.
Yes.
That's what it'll be. The obit. Be fantastic.
They'll go, this is Jim Vance. Don and Mike are dead.
That's right. And we're planning to do that, incidentally. Die together. Just, because we think it'll be neater that way.
Oh, yeah. The guys who have used the word twat, cunning, breast, dickhead, they're dead.
And since we're telling secrets today, let's let everybody know. If we both happen to be lucky enough to live to the age of 70, we're planning on getting in a big Cadillac convertible and driving off the rim of the Grand Canyon like Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise. That's our plan.
That's right. But we'll videotape the whole thing and then we'll sell it. And it'll benefit our families.
That's nice.
Because we're going to take care of our families the way Derek Thomas didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek Thomas and his 7 illegitimate kids.
There you go.
All right, so listen. Wow, we really got off track there.
Yeah, what about that other disc jockey?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Okay, we got to do a break. We're going to talk about Chuck Knapp, but we ended up talking about George Michael.
Ended up talking about ourselves.
George Michael. Of course, we always end up talking about ourselves. That's our favorite topic on this show, ourselves.
It's always that.
We'll be right back.
Their experience. They've sucked tea.
Right.
Don and Mike.
We never listen to Toya's tapes.
Right.
We got to do that. Before I read you the article about Chuck Knapp, although it's great because he's really going off the deep end.
And I want you to hear my commercial, too, that I did.
I've got it sitting out right here.
Good, good.
I got it right here.
All right.
Hello, Donna Mike. Hello. Trying to fly through the calls. Hello.
All right. Da, 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 da.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hey, I've got the ultimate Oasis VH1 thing. If you watch the Oasis drinking deal and do the drinking game to it.
What? All right, goodbye.
He's talking about something we talked about an hour ago.
Behind the Music, Oasis.
Yes. Right. that would be a good one for the drinking game.
You put the Oasis in the wrong part.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
It's Jason in Green Bay.
Yes, Jason.
Hey, what do you guys think of that Jules Asner from the E! Exclamation Point Network over there?
The only guy I ever watch on, the only person I ever know from the E! Is that fag.
Steve Kometko.
Yeah,
Steve Kometko.
Those guys at Holst Talk Soup are all fags, but...
No, I mean, Steve Kometko is truly gay.
I mean, the new guy on Talk Soup. I like the guy. He's funnier than the last guy.
Hal Sparks.
Hal Sparks is funny. No, but Hal Sparks is better suited for that. He's like Greg Kinnear was. The guy in between was, I always thought, was pushing a little bit.
Who was the guy in between?
The guy with the skunk hair.
John Henson.
Yeah, right.
Hey, when are you guys going to have that guy from the potato chip factory on again?
Oh, come on. Goodbye.
That was the funniest damn thing I ever heard.
All right. Goodbye. See you later.
That guy. Okay, here's Toya. I'm just going to fly through the tapes now.
All right.
Wait on the article. Here's Toya talking to people. I think it borders books.
Good.
With the second part of the experiment, do ugly people know that they are ugly? Here is Toya Swallow. Oh. This is a little behind the scenes where she was taping herself in the car listening to music.
Oh, very good. Uh-huh. And she didn't know the tape recorder was on?
Right. No. We're just eavesdropping now and Toya in her car.
You a question for CBS Broadcast Radio?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
Probably not.
I don't think so. And do you think that you're ugly?
I hope not.
No.
What was that?
It's a nasty laugh.
Okay, I just finished talking to this guy who had extremely long hair, and the girl, she was just like, she looked okay, but the guy was horrendous. He was terrible.
Okay. Well, we need more description.
Well, he had that long, ugly hair.
Now, keep in mind that this is based on yesterday's discussion. Right. Do ugly people know that they're ugly?
And based on that last guy, we're starting to get a picture of it. It seems that more ugly people don't believe they're ugly.
Yes.
The trend seems to be in that direction.
We have sent Toya out to different public locations specifically to find ugly people.
Right.
And ask them if they think they're ugly.
Very good.
All right, here she is to the next person.
On a mic. Now I'm in front of a salon. Hi. Do you mind if I ask you a question for CBS Broadcast Radio?
Sure.
The first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so. I mean, some people feel that they're ugly, but I don't know.
And do you ever feel that you're ugly?
No.
She said that early in the tapes that she did that a couple of times.
It's not do you ever feel you're ugly. It's do you think you're ugly. Not do you ever...
Do you think you're ugly?
There's days, you know, where you feel like your hair's going wrong or your skin's going wrong.
This is now tainted.
Check.
Move it ahead.
A little beaver. She's like...
A little beaver?
Hold on. Move it back. I do want to hear that. I want to hear her describe the girl.
Oh, I think she's talking about the teeth.
All right.
Really tall, and she just looked like a little beaver, but kind of cute in an ugly way.
Right, I'm confused.
Two questions for the radio. Where do you mind if I ask you a few questions for broadcast?
She's
for
in her
CBS
own bathroom.
No.
Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people think they're ugly?
No, they're ugly.
What kind of question is that?
Is that a serious question?
Yes, it is.
Is this in Toya's tub?
I would say probably not, Bill.
Okay. And the last question is, do you think that you're ugly?
There you go.
Definitely not.
You must be real ugly then.
We're doing a survey.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Let's hear the description now of what this guy looked like.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions for CBS Broadcast Radio?
Oh, now you know what? She's violating all of the directives.
Yeah,
here.
I understand. We didn't get a description of that guy. Right. Maybe she could give us a live description. Here
Toya,
she comes
where
right
are you? Now. What did that last guy look
okay.
like?
Okay. That was the reason why I couldn't give a description is because it was in a dentist's office.
Yeah.
And
how did you get into a dentist's office?
I just walked in. And he was the receptionist, but there was this other lady, I guess she was an assistant or whatever, and she kept giving me this look, and so I couldn't get the description off.
All right, what did he look like? Tell us now.
He had this beard that just needed to be cut off. I mean, it was terrible and
scraggly.
Yeah,
matted.
You have a thing about facial hair. You don't like facial hair. Wait, was this guy ugly? I mean, if you took his beard away, would he be ugly?
No, he would still be ugly because it was just the shape of his head and his face.
Okay.
You know, some people have like that football shaped head thing going on,
yeah,
but
absolutely.
Sideways.
I understand.
That's how he looked.
So he was an ugly man.
Very much so.
Very ugly. Okay. Thank you, Toya.
You're welcome.
Toya, your journalism career is doing quite well. Thank you.
Thanks.
Real good.
Okay. The first question is, do you think that ugly people think they're ugly?
Oh, that's a good question. What do you think, Dave?
Not really, because some people, like, they just have a good self-esteem, and they don't care about self-esteem, basically.
So, do you ever think that you're ugly?
Oh, of course not. No.
These guys must be very ugly. Though.
Very ugly. Now, see if we get a description.
All right, thank you.
What do they look like, Toya?
Those guys were lying. They were so ugly. They had a face full of acne. They were the skateboard type. Long, oily, dirty-looking hair, and they were just...
Gross.
Okay, now
gross.
I'm in a grocery store.
Here we go.
Where I'm sure there'll be a lot of ugly people. Let's find out.
They have to eat, too.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from CBS Radio. Can I ask you a few questions? Just a couple questions. Two questions.
Yes.
Okay. The first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
No, I don't think so.
And the second question is, do you think that you're ugly?
Yeah, what does that mean? You're ugly, so what does that mean?
Huh?
What does it mean? Please repeat the second question.
The second question is, do you think that you're ugly? That you, yeah.
Sometimes I think I'm ugly.
I bet all the time.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
No, I'm going to bet 24-7.
Okay, that was a dock clerk. He's cutting up boxes, putting out baloney, and he's unattractive.
Unattractive.
Here's another one.
Let's hear one more. We have time for one more.
Hi, I'm
putting out baloney.
CBS Radio. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Okay. What kind of question?
Just two questions.
Okay.
Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
No. Of course not.
Okay, and the second question is, do you think that you're ugly?
I'm not ugly and I'm not crazy.
I'm not pretty.
It's just average, yeah.
Just in between.
Well, that's kind of in denial.
Oh my gosh, here's another one. This guy. He's a loser. Looks like it.
Well, I could have used more of a description.
Everybody's a loser.
There was one more. Rob, I know we're running late, but go to the last one. 7:30, where she talks to fat kids at McDonald's. Because that's how she wrote it up on the card.
Very good.
Fat kids at McDonald's.
That's the last one I guess we want to hear.
Let me know when you got it. You got it? Here we go.
They say they're confident about themselves, but they're really not. You know? Yeah. They know
they're awesome. Eating.
It's okay.
Now you're making me think.
And the last question is, do you think that you're ugly?
You know what, I guess you better back it up a little bit.
Like I said, the time code wasn't 100% on
right.
Okay. Sounds like she might have gotten a long answer to this.
Yeah, want to get me on there,
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay, the first question is, do you think that ugly people know that they're ugly?
Yeah, I think they definitely have to know.
I mean, it's a given, you know? I mean, it's one of those things where, like...
He's eating.
They say they're confident about themselves, but they're really not, you know? Yeah. They know they're ugly. It's okay.
Now you're making me think.
Is that Toya saying that?
No.
And the last question is, do you think that you're ugly?
No.
I'm beautiful.
I'm gorgeous.
Oh, I'm beautiful. All right, thanks, guys.
Let's see what they look like.
Oh. Well, there's no description.
Oh, dear.
Toya, come here and tell us what the fat kids at McDonald's look like. I mean, that's the payoff.
Absolutely.
We have to find out what the fat kids at McDonald's look like.
I will tell you that 7 of the ugly people didn't think they were ugly, and 1 of the ugly people thought they were.
So really, that's overwhelming.
Yes.
You know, thank goodness for you, Buzz. You actually keep track of that crap.
I love this job.
What did the fat kids at McDonald's look like?
Okay, there were 2 guys and 2 girls, and 1 girl had really bad acne, the kind that's really red, like on that that infomercial.
Right, yeah.
She had that type of acne.
Raised, ugly acne.
Yeah, oily. Skin and right. And she was kind of. She was just.
What about the guy that gave me the answer? The guy that was giving me the answer with the
before. Well, see, the guy who. The second guy was. He was cute.
Oh, he was good looking.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then you should have taken the microphone away from him.
You were only supposed to talk to uglies.
He was the normal one, but
asked if he was ugly or not.
No, I asked everyone at the table.
Okay, but he answered first.
No, the second guy.
Oh, okay.
The second guy was the cutie, but the first one was, look, he looked just like the chick with the acne.
Okay.
And then the other chick who didn't talk, oh my God, she was like horrendous too.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't want to say anything.
Right. So they were very ugly people at McDonald's.
Yeah, they were all big and round, sitting outside at McDonald's and stuff.
Okay, you want to say hi to Buzz?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Toya. God.
Do you want him? Yeah.
You want him? You really do?
Yeah.
In a big way?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to have to talk about that.
Well, he's a swinger, right?
Yes, he is.
It's legal in his marriage contract.
Look out. What would you do if Buzz asked you to look at his glow stick?
Turn off the light.
Turn off the light.
Good answer, Toya.
Get out of here, Toya.
See you later.
Get out of here,
please. That's Toya and her day of journalism.
The Buzz might have the private latex show going tomorrow.
I believe that might be the case.
That might not be up on stage, Buzz.
It's pretty intense.
Listen, there are the toe-tapping touch-tones. Let's try to give away the money again with the secret sound. $500 on the line. Be the 100th caller now. Not only a
just Toya here, but
Bloody Beth is here as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Good luck.
Cunny-rific. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's do the toe tapping touchdown.
All right.
Everybody loves the secret sound. And it's back. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'm caller 100.
Yes, yes, you are. Hi, what is your name, citizen?
My name is Charles.
Charles, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Gaithersburg.
Right.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Uh-huh. Hello, Charles. Caller 100, you've won the Stuff of the Month gift pack. Log on to Stuff of the Month, stuffofthemonth.com and make every month a holiday by sending her lingerie monthly.
Thank you.
And very soon, I think they signed Frida up to do commercials for them.
For lingerie?
Yes.
For Stuff of the Month.
Oh, no.
Hi, this is Frida. I don't earn the money, but I sure spend it, and I've received some lovely lingerie from Stuff of the Month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, call 100. You've won that. Now, here you go for the big bucks. For $500, have you heard the new secret sound?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. You're screwed.
Yeah, you're at a distinct disadvantage.
We will play it for you anyway. Good luck. If you can identify this everyday sound, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Goulet.
Robert Goulet.
And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. I only wish you had done your work and had listened a little longer, and then you would have heard it. This should not be your virginal listen.
And the odds are in my...
It sells. For $500, what is that sound?
Is it the sound of an oven door closing?
It is not an oven door closing.
Nope, sorry, sir.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Every guest,
a clue for you. It's a clue for you.
He almost said that like a disc jockey. Mm-hmm. An oven door.
Oven door.
Hey, the oven door's closing.
Bye.
Listen, I got one more thing for you before we get to Buzz. I'm going to just wait on the story about the disc jockey for tomorrow.
Chuck Knapp?
Yes, and the mail order brides for Charles Stossel. We'll save that for tomorrow's show.
That's a good show to save it for.
And also, Christy Swanson will be on the show tomorrow. The POA, who was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Vegas-style show tomorrow night. Carmen Kaboom.
Kaboom.
That is in Columbia, Maryland. Now, listen to this lineup we have tomorrow night. The underwear fashion show. Lots of naked chicks. Lots of naked guys. The Nude Feud.
Nude Feud!
The Homo Joe Challenge. The Cheryl the Big Dyke Challenge. The Dennis Murphy Challenge with girls sucking lifesavers off Dennis's underpants.
Caution, high sexual content.
And a brand new feature. An experiment.
Yeah, an experiment. This is not necessarily going to be a regular feature.
We are going to, no pun intended, we're going to feed Dennis Chili Mac before the show.
Chili Mac.
And then we're going to give him X-Lax.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to strip him down to an adult diaper and put him in a chair in the corner of the stage and see how long it takes him to crap his pants.
So at the end of the show, he looks up and says, it's soup.
Because that's the kind of show that you told us you wanted.
And that's really, and I like you putting it that way. That's the show you told us you wanted.
Lots of naked chicks, lots of naked guys, lots of jokes. And Dennis Murphy crapping in his pants.
You asked for it, now you're going to get it.
That's tomorrow night, Carmen Kaboom in Columbia, Maryland. Our way of saying thank you for listening.
Right.
Thank you for admitting to the ratings company you listen. The show's number one rated. We could not be happier. Thank you. Come on out. Free show tomorrow night, Columbia, Maryland, Carmen Kaboom. It's halfway between D.C. and Baltimore. Last thing, I do want to fit this in before we get to Buzz. It's the commercial that Mike did.
this is a commercial I wanted to do for a long time.
I'm going
to
give him a free play on the network now. This is a real commercial. You got to listen to it because it's a real commercial.
You have to be a Buzz connoisseur to appreciate this commercial.
It's Mike goofing on Buzz. And
have you heard it yet? No, I have not. Good, okay.
For those of you on the network...
Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay.
For those of you on the network who haven't heard, why are you disappointed?
Because you said you wanted to hear it on the air.
I did hear it on the air. I heard it on the air when I was driving in my car.
Oh, your schedule's already started?
Yes,
oh.
And I couldn't, you know, once it came on...
Oh, all right.
I couldn't turn the radio off. Okay. I wanted to hear it.
All right.
Trust me, I'll love it the second time.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, you know this with Buzz from his commercial. This is where this comes from.
They're so nice, they picked me as their spokesman because I'm nice.
When I did this commercial, I tried to capture the essence of Buzz. I wanted to transport Buzz into my own body.
You did, and it has not only that, but it has all of Buzz's stupid catchphrases from the many commercials that he's done. I think you talk about your regular guy voice.
Right? I don't know if I mentioned regular guy voice, but I know there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Good. I can't wait.
This is a real commercial. I'm going to give them a free play now on the network where Mike is doing his take of Buzz.
Good.
Mike Beep Beep O'Mara here to tell you about Career Rewards. You know, my friends are constantly whining about looking for work, and I try to help them as much as I can because it's the nice thing to do, and I'm nice. And at CareerRewards.com, they're nice too because they pay me for referring my friends who are looking for work. If my pals get jobs, I get paid up to the cartoon silly amount of $10,000. I like that. It's nice. Career Rewards has terrific job listings, wonderful careers for people who are ready for the next big opportunity. If you know someone who's job hunting, tell them about CareerRewards.com, and you can get cash. Last time I checked, they're the only internet site that does that. Career Rewards. That's the word career and the word rewards. Great careers for people who want them. Big rewards for people who refer them. I like that because I'm nice and I love money.
Beep, beep.
That's great.
That is every Buzz-ism.
Sure.
Because Buzz whores himself more out than any of us do to do commercials.
Right.
And if you listen to WJFK, you know you hear Buzz's voice constantly hawking some product.
Right. All the time.
And that's exactly what it sounds like.
You're the only ones that do that.
That's great. You did a great job, Mike.
Beep, beep. And that was your beep, beep, right?
No. Yes.
When you did your spot
on my commercial, yeah. And then you did your own beep, beep on yours.
Absolutely.
I'll give props to Career Rewards because it took a while to find a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's like sometimes they just don't get it. We said, listen, the concept is Mike is doing a parody of Buzz's commercial, which will draw more attention to
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
But the first time, didn't they come back and say, yeah, then they wanted you to do an Elmer Fudd voice?
They didn't know what I was doing at all.
I swear to God, that's what I heard.
They wanted me to do an Elmer Fudd voice, and, you know, what it was just finally saying, no, here's what I'm doing. I'm doing an impression of Buzz, because Buzz does so many commercials. People that listen to our show will super dig this,
yeah.
And so please let me do it this way. I wanted to do it, so thanks to that sponsor, Career Rewards for, you know, finally going along with
great
it.
Job. It great is. Job.
I appreciate that, Buzz. It's nice.
Thank you.
Why, Mike?
It's great.
Because you're nice.
Because I'm nice. You really captured the essence of what I try to do in my commercial.
Last time I checked, they're the only ones that do that.
Buzz, nice. I like it.
Buzz, I'm so comfortable with the news back in its old time.
Ah, good. There
what
we go.
What was I thinking? What is your lead story tonight on the news in the comments?
Tonight, our long national nightmare is over. ABC's back on the cable.
Right, gotcha. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
What's the buzz?
Oh, yes, coming up. News and comments.
This. The word from Planet Crackpot.
Helping you to understand comedy. Don and Mike.
Now we're trying. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, baby.
It's Karen from Baltimore, and I'm just calling because I'm sitting here on my back porch looking at my beautiful view of the water and listening to you talk about your Las Vegas-style show.
Oh, Jennifer, tomorrow night. Right, tomorrow night,
yeah.
In Columbia.
And I thought of something to make that Dennis Murphy challenge just one step grosser than it is already.
How could it possibly be grosser than Dennis eating chili and X-Lax and wearing an adult diaper and crapping in his pants?
Well, if you wait until he has that adult diaper on and is ready to crap in his pants before you have the girl suck the lifesavers off of his underwear.
Oh, no.
Methinks the lady is a tad kinky.
No. No, thank you.
You're just looking at your beautiful view and thinking of that. How normal can you be?
I would not wish that on my worst enemy. Thank you, honey. Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I tell you, I'd like to see when Dennis fulfills his obligation up there, him whisked off the stage in like a Tupperware Tupperware canister.
Something tells me it won't be clean.
Oh.
I mean, the whole thing, the whole operation.
It's an experiment.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, ABC's back on the cable for Time Warner customers in 7 cities, including New York. A cable company says it's lifted its blackout of the ABC affiliates, even though it has not yet settled its dispute with Disney, which owns ABC. Time Warner says it has given the network an extension, and that it will keep negotiating with Disney until July 15th. That means ABC's in the clear for the crucial May sweeps ratings period.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm really sad that Time Warner caved on that.
Doesn't a cable operation have the right to carry whatever it wants?
Yes, they do.
They have to carry the local station, so they don't really have any choice. But at the same time, the law now requires them to go along with it if the local station wants to be compensated for the use of their signal.
Why do they have to carry the local station? Couldn't they just carry the news and public affairs programming and that way fulfill their end of the bargain?
The last I heard, there was something called the must-carry rule, and it meant that a cable company in a given area had to carry all of the local TV stations that were receivable by antenna. That rule was probably written by a judge who's wearing a pair of hippo boots right now, donated by Mr. Eisner.
Amen.
And even though 3.5 million people couldn't get their local ABC station on cable last night, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire attracted 35 million viewers.
Oh, I saw him crowing about that this morning on the Regis show.
How are you? I'm hot.
You know, he gets up there. How come more people don't hate Regis Philbin? But I want to tell you something.
They will in time.
I want to tell you something.
He's hard to hate.
Mike and I have had, certainly on Regis's scale, very limited success. You know, we're number one rated here. We're number one rated in a bunch of markets. Mm-hmm. We're on the move up in New York. But one lesson that we learned the hard way a long time ago is that when you even have a modicum of success, when you come on and you just pull your schlong out and whip it out and lay it on the table and say, hey, we're number one. That's great.
Right.
You know, if you're not humble about it, and we had to learn it the hard way, if you're not humble about it, people will say, F you.
Right.
Which is why now, when we get great numbers, and it's from the heart, we always really say, thank you, that we know we're up a crapper if people don't listen to the show. So here's the question.
Right.
How come Regis can get on his TV show like he does today, and virtually pull down his pants and pull out his penis, lay it on the table, and what he does is...
When it stopped being funny a long time ago, when it's not a bit, when it's just Regis doing it to do it.
I mean, he's on TV reading the numbers.
Like, seriously.
He's on TV announcing today.
And people applaud.
Yes, yes. He announces it for the Regis and Kathy Cunny Lee Gifford show yesterday. They had a 4.8.
Right.
Number one rated in New York.
Now, when you talk about your ratings, you give the people who deserve the credit, and that's the viewers or the listeners.
No, but instead he says, it's me. I'm the king.
Right.
And look at this. We had 25 million people watching on the Celebrity, and we beat 60 Minutes.
Yeah, and when you could put Bonzo in that role, in that seat, and it would be equally effective.
How come people have not turned on him yet? Because he's just not humble enough.
You taught me that humility. I mean, you're saying that we weren't humble, but I wasn't humble. I remember the first time we were number one, and I went in as soon as we had gotten the ratings. Remember that first ratings book when we were number one? And I asked for a jet. Don had to take me aside and say, you know, you ought to be a little more humble.
Chill out, Pachanga.
I was excited. We were number one. I was in my 20s.
Ask for a bicycle.
I said, I walked in, I said, okay, where's the jet? And, you know, I had a rude awakening.
Yeah,
man.
I'm serious about that, though.
You know,
people love winners in this country, but we like our winners to be humble.
Right.
And I'm starting to get annoyed with Regis Philbin, because for a while it was funny that here was a guy who'd been knocked around his whole career, and he was kind of famous, but not really famous.
Well, that's why he's, like, working himself literally to death, because he's got all this success late in his career, and it's the only thing that's mattering to him right now. He doesn't want to have, like, his grandkids on his knee. He wants, like, to be the hot guy.
I understand. I can relate to that, to a guy who's worked his ass off. But please, how come the American people haven't said one morning, you know, God damn, it sure is boring every day to turn on Regis and Kathy C and see him just talk about how great he is, how hot he is.
I know, it's very depressing.
How big his numbers are.
It takes time for that to soak in with most people.
And you're absolutely right, Buzz, that today, when he announces the ratings, the moron blue hairs that they bust in that audience, they're all doing this.
Yeah.
Hey, you're great, Regis.
No need to entertain me, just talk about how good you are.
I tell you right now, here's our response to overnight, and, you know, such a dope. look at this. A am scary. 4.8. That's number one. We're so hot.
It's hot.
Incredible how they get better.
You heard him say that, a 4.8. That's a 5.
Well, everybody does that.
Yeah.
Anyway, 35 million viewers for Millionaire last night. A media expert tells the Associated Press the audience would have been 500,000 people bigger if it hadn't been blacked out. And the people I feel sorry for, I think, are all the people who ran to Radio Shack yesterday, especially in New York.
Oh, to buy the antennas?
And bought the rabbit ears, the amplified rabbit ears.
Well,
in some
they
cases.
Really ran. I have no sympathy for
the AB switches. They spent all that money. Some Radio Shacks even sold out of that stuff, and now people don't even need
still
it.
Still a Tandy Corporation?
Yeah, but they're changing the name of it. Tandy was
Jessica Tandy.
A leather company.
You're king of the Tandys.
And it'll soon just be Radio Shack Corporation.
And is it Tandy Cakes?
Oh, it's Tandy Cakes.
Haven't we been through this with Tasty Cakes? Isn't it Tandy Cakes?
No, it's Tandy
you're
Cakes.
You're close. You're thinking of...
The peanut butter thing.
You're thinking of Little Debbie.
No. It's been a long time since we've had our Little Debbie fantasy going. Oh, Little Debbie.
Lucille.
How you doing, Little Debbie? No, I'm positive they're Tasty Cake Candy Cakes. A little peanut butter.
Candy Cakes?
K-A-N...
Candy
cakes.
Candy
cakes, something like that.
Candy.
No, not candy.
It's like it was like baby talk for candy.
I don't remember.
That's what it was.
Candy cake.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Hold on, Bob. Okay. Let me see if somebody knows. Hello, Don and Mike.
It's Candy Cakes.
I see I was right the first.
A-T-E-S.
What is it?
It's Tandy Tates. Both words start with T.
Mm-hmm. Tandy Tates.
Where is this Tandy Take product that you're speaking of?
It's a Tasty Cake. It's out of Philadelphia, and it's up and down the East Coast.
I told you, Tandy.
I can go into the bakery section of a supermarket.
Go to 7-Eleven on your way home tonight.
And they will say Tandy Takes.
Yes.
Tandy Tates.
Yes, they're peanut butter.
They look sort of like C's, but they are T's.
But these aren't the peanut butter candy cakes.
There's a couple different varieties.
There is a flavor that is peanut butter.
There is a peanut butter.
And they are candy cakes, but they call them Tandy Takes.
Right, it's a play on words. Mm-hmm. Well, because it's Tasty Cake.
That's pretty damn clever.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Tandy, like Jessica Tandy.
Tandy, oh yeah, she was a great lady.
Right, I'm not losing it. But
driving Miss Daisy.
Hold on, please. All right. Hold on a second. We will be right back.
I didn't know you were going to say that, and I had a rather large gulp of water in my mouth. Unfortunately, I always have the emergency music ready. It's emergency music, which is about 5 years old. 5 years old is okay sometimes.
Yeah.
20 years old is okay, as we demonstrated with the bad finger.
Mm-hmm. All right, Buzzy, what's new?
Well, the big game jackpot's up to $150 million now. And there's another drawing tonight. It's the second biggest jackpot ever in the 7-state game. The biggest was $197 million.
Can you still get tickets?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Around here?
At least until 7 o'clock. If you run fast, your odds of winning are now 1 in 76 million. The states, the states again are Virginia, Maryland, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, Georgia, and Illinois. If somebody wins tonight, it'll get even bigger.
7 o'clock? 7 o'clock is the cutoff.
I think so. I'm not a big lottery player, but that's usually...
You don't know? How come you don't? You're a newsman. You should know these things.
Because we don't normally cover the lottery, and I don't normally play the lottery, so I'm not familiar with the... But I believe 7 o'clock is the usual drawing time.
8 o'clock would sound reasonable. Like, 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. at least when I was growing up, that's when the package stores were closed in Connecticut.
Okay, now we're in. Now we're in your territory. Got you.
I'm sure someone will call.
And you could stop buying booze.
Can you imagine that, $150 million?
Wow.
I'd just be driving around with an open container.
What do you care about?
No, I wouldn't. Of course I wouldn't. That's foolish. I don't encourage people to do that.
You would in New Orleans where it's legal.
I would, yeah. In New Orleans, mm-hmm. I'd be doing it all
in
the time.
In New Orleans, where you can have a drink and have sex while you're driving the car, and the cops wave at you. How you doing?
Woohoo!
Welcome to New Orleans.
How the hurricane.
Oops. Although I thought we had somebody with your lotto information, Mike.
There'll be somebody out there that'll help me.
Some enough.
Okay.
76-year-old game show host Bob Barker has just signed on to a 29th year on The Price is Right.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Wonderful.
At the first, Barker now holds the undisputed record for the biggest number of consecutive daily appearances for a non-news television personality.
Great, BFD.
I did not do one thing that woman didn't want to do. That's how much it meant to me.
He's also the performer with the most Emmys, 13 in all.
And I keep them in Rod's bung.
Rod Roddy, show me where my Emmy is. Push it out. It's right here, Bob. It's a shiny gold Emmy. Oh, not so shiny anymore, Rod Roddy. Are the prices right? The highest rated game show in daytime TV, John.
It's in my bung, Bob.
There it is. That's right next to the new armoire. Emmy, come on out. Oh, look at that. That's a fine one, Rod. Janice, clean that off. The New York woman accused of using her husband's insurance to pay for her boyfriend's penis implant has been found guilty. It took the jury no more than an hour to find 41-year-old medical secretary Jean Lewis guilty of defrauding the insurance company out of $15,000 so her boyfriend could get it up.
Well, here she is.
You got Geronimo. You got Geronimo. Oh, sounds good.
Jean.
There she is, Jean. Jean now faces up to 7 years in prison. The doctor, who didn't know he wasn't treating Mr. Lewis, says he prescribed Viagra at first, but the couple wasn't satisfied. The boyfriend, by the way, has now apparently left the country, returning to his native land of Haiti.
And here's what he had to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I forgot.
He said that on his way to Haiti.
Well, at least he was nice enough to apologize. In Florida.
He was nice.
They've arrested in Florida the guy who was allegedly using squirt guns to soak children with semen.
Rob Stewart!
Thank you.
Hi, kids.
Ta-da!
Joseph Nichols was arrested Sunday. He's charged.
And when you did that, Rob, you wore one of those little cowboy hats like Steve Martin wore in Parenthood, right?
Yeah, well,
when he had to pretend he was the rodeo clown?
Every cowboy hat on me is a little cowboy.
Well, Joseph Nichols is charged with lewd and lascivious assault.
Joseph D. Nichols. D is for Daryl.
And he's suspected in 10 such attacks over the past year. Nichols would allegedly steal the squirt gun from the store, fill it with semen and some other liquid, and squirt it at young girls' faces. In at least one instance, he allegedly took a picture of his victim after the attack. But Nichols' lawyer wants the charge dropped.
Of course he does.
Really?
He says there
Stay
was...
cool. Stay cool.
What does Donald Lee from have to say about that?
I'm going to get you off.
That's the problem. He says there was no assault because there was no physical contact. He says that although what his client is accused of is gross and disgusting, it's not a felony.
Oh, man. Nice lawyer. We had a J.O. in his office.
Right. I think we have a lot of call for you.
Hello?
And Mike.
Yes, oh, Dennis, can you do it for me?
Yeah, you want to cook it?
Well, it's 7:01, though. Is it too late?
Oh, no. The gong got 11. I think you can cook it up to 9.
Up to 9? I'll get them myself, Dennis. Cool. You don't need to worry about it. I'll get them myself.
In Maryland?
I don't live in Maryland.
I know. But...
Are they available in Virginia?
Yes, Virginia and Maryland.
Okay.
All right, but Dennis, thank you once again for thinking of me, and I look forward to watching you crap your pants tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to it.
And let me get this slug in.
What?
That Dennis Murphy tomorrow night, before he craps his pants, will be wearing a suit from the Modern Collection of Today's Man, a $349 suit at Today's Man sells for $700 in the finest department stores, and Dennis will be wearing the Regis Philbin monochromatic look.
Very good.
Because I didn't tell you that Today's Man gave me extra clothes.
No, you asked for extra clothes.
Huh?
You asked for extra clothes.
No. I wanted to buy them, but the manager said it's on the house.
Right.
Okay, right. Listen, I'd also like to point out that today Buzz's News and Comment is sponsored by Glenn Ellen. Taste the new Glen Ellen. Good taste is within your reach.
I think that's a wine.
Okay, Mike.
Yes.
You got it, right?
It's either a wine or a semen.
Yeah, Dennis, thanks for thinking of me.
Thank you, Dennis.
DennisMovie.com.
Right. See you tomorrow night. Bye-bye. But I must do this.
All right.
Were you done with the story about the guy with the squirt gun and
yes,
the semen?
Yes, I was.
Okay, then we'll be right back.
To break the cycle of babies having babies, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, any stations that came back early. I think we had an early false cue there.
We did?
Getting people back into commercials.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just not paying attention.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm loopy.
Loopy.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Donna Mike. A former Mrs. America, who's been on the run from the law, is expected to turn herself in this week.
Is it Bobby Hollingsworth?
Nope. It's 40-year-old Jill Scott Chance, who won the crown 9 years ago. She was indicted in Arizona on Friday for lying about her assets and even her name when she filed for bankruptcy 4 years ago. She faces 15 years for this, and it's not her first time in trouble. After she won Mrs. America, she was sued by pageant officials for hiding the fact that she had separated from her husband.
Oh, Mrs. Chance.
She's also been investigated for welfare fraud, sued for backing out of a porno film, and sued by her first husband for illegal imprisonment.
Mm.
Oh, Mrs. Vincent.
Get down, Mama.
Get down, Mama.
All right, that's enough of that. And you know, I don't want to alarm anyone.
Oh, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, right.
This is where Buzz is going to alarm the audience. Hold
sure.
on, Buzz.
Here we go. Here's a fear monger. Fear monger coming up.
Let me just get your sound effect ready. Okay. Hold on a second. There we go. All right. What is it? Stock market down today?
No. There are huge cracks in the floor of the Atlantic Ocean that could send deadly tidal waves crashing into mid-Atlantic states like Virginia and North Carolina. Scientists say they've just discovered these cracks along a 25-mile section of the continental shelf just off the coast. They say that suggests that the ocean floor is unstable and could slide like an avalanche, creating giant tidal waves. We're sending out all our warnings. The scientists will meet this weekend to gather more information, and of course, I'll keep you scared, posted.
Is there a foghorn out on the on that rift or whatever that
be.
Shelf?
There sure
should
is,
be.
There's a guy standing on top of the foghorn.
Three guys. Hawks are circling.
Well, he doesn't have to worry. He can fly over the wave.
They're all there.
I didn't even know the Red Cross could go on strike. But American Red Cross workers in Connecticut have voted to reject the agency's latest offer.
Good.
The strike involves about 200 people who conduct the Red Cross blood drives in that area.
Good. That's a thankless job.
Their absence could reportedly...
My sister used to work for the Red Cross.
Let them get some benefits. Is that what they want, benefits?
I don't know exactly. It's money and benefits. It's whatever the latest offer is from the agency.
That's well, tough
these,
work.
These are generally the people in our society who are not selfish. Give them whatever they want.
Their absence could reportedly...
They're not selfish. Give them whatever they're demanding. I just realized how goofy that sounds.
Well, that's right.
But it's what I mean. I mean, these are people who, you know, go to these awful, decrepit places mm-hmm. where awful things have happened. Mm-hmm.
My sister used to work for the Red Cross, I think, in Jersey with Nick Nolte's sister. I swear to God, I've never said that before. She kind of looked like Nick Nolte.
Did you ever go on strike?
No.
Daily blood collection in Connecticut could
We're
be
just
down...
just one what's fair.
Could be down by 80% because of it.
Oh, yeah.
You heard Donna say, we're not selfish. We're not selfish. We just want to give us what we want. For God's sake, give us the contract. And get us with McClure.
You know, Blue Chips has been on almost every day on Cinemax.
Happy, I'll tell you right now, Happy. I'll say two words I think I've never said before.
What's that?
I quit.
The bar would say, Tony's Funkin' TV.
Southern Baptist, of course. First Baptist, not Southern Baptist. I'm First Baptist.
And he's a Pentecostal when he goes down to recruit Shaq.
Man, I was raised in a Pentecostal church.
And he walks in, he's clapping his hands all the time.
And you see all the bad acting done in the parade with the other coaches, you know?
Yeah.
All the bad coaches going, no, man.
And Larry Bird's in that movie. We're talking about Larry Bird fathering all those children today.
That's where he sees the coaches, the parade at French Lick.
Right, well, before that, he goes to Larry Bird's house.
Well, that's right.
Where Larry Bird is just out by his tennis court shooting baskets.
I'm going to get you, Dad. I'm playing the John Deere tractor. Where are we going? Where are we going? Where's Algiers? Come on.
Algiers, Louisiana. That's where Shaq lives. That's where Shaq lives. And what's his name? It's Bo Neon,
yeah.
Bo Dome or something. I mean, every time the movie Blue Chips is on, I watch it.
It's a fantastic movie.
And you know what? I would bang Nick Nolte's ex-wife in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that actress?
I forgot what her name is, but she's been in several high-profile pictures, and she is a hottie.
She's not
in
a,
her own way. She's an older hottie.
She's not a real POA, but...
No, we share that, absolutely.
Doable.
She's got a little something happening.
Yeah, doable. Definitely doable.
She's got just a tiny little something happening.
Yes, she does.
Something makes you just want to jump on her.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jump on her.
There may be bare breasts all over the place at a mall in suburban Albany, New York.
Yeah.
Mothers are considering staging a big protest after a store manager threw out a woman who was breastfeeding her baby in a changing room.
Oh, I love these stories.
The woman says she had just spent $90 at a store called the Dancing Bear Trading Company. She says the manager told her the cubicle wasn't a nursing station. Ironically, New York has one of the toughest laws in the country for protecting a mother's right to breastfeed in public, and mothers are talking about turning out in force at this mall to demonstrate that.
Buzz, we got a break. And the lady's name is what, Robbie?
Mary McDonald.
Mary McDonald.
Yes, very pretty.
I like her.
Beautiful actress.
Yeah. She was in Dances with Wolves, I believe, across from Kevin
Costner. That's right. She was Stands with a Fist.
Want to hump you a lot.
Mm.
Toe Tapping Touch Tones right there. I never saw that stupid movie. I cannot comment on that.
It was wonderful.
Toe Tapping Touch Tones.
Thank you.
Time for call 100.
Price package selected especially for you. Call Toya Swallow or Bloody Beth. Even Lisa the Nympho finally came into work today.
Always a dilemma for me. It's either Dances with Wolves or Message in a Bottle.
The number is 1-877-365-3636. We'll be right back. I get it. Kevin Costner.
Oh, I love you, Bull Durham.
This is Certified Blouse Clown Inspectors, Don and Mike.
All right, Buzz. In sports, Tim Duncan won't be playing for San Antonio tonight when the Spurs face Phoenix in the NBA playoffs. Duncan is sidelined with a torn knee cartilage.
Go Kings.
The Spurs trail in that series 2-1.
Go Kings. Root for Sacramento. They're playing L.A. tonight.
Knock them dead, Vladdy.
Portland's at Minnesota tonight.
He is so funny. Vladdy who?
Vladdy Divanovich. The center for the Sacramento Kings.
Vladdy Divac.
Vladdy Divac is what I said. And he dishes it off to C. Webb at the top of the key for a three.
Have you seen Toya's new screensaver?
Hmm. It's C. Webb, isn't
it? It's nothing but Chris Webber.
Yeah.
All over the screensaver.
She is a big, big fan.
Yes, she loves him. She might love him more than she loves you, White Devil.
I believe she does.
And we all love Kings basketball. I think that's universal.
Go Kings.
As long as they keep winning.
Absolutely.
Portland's at...
Come Sunday, it'll be go New York, go New York, go New York, go.
You better believe that.
When the Knicks take on the Heat.
Absolutely. Patrick Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Very good, Mike.
All right.
Can you name anyone else on the Knicks?
Latrell Sprewell.
I'll give you $10 if you can name a third. I was going to say no help, but no chance anybody in this room could name anybody.
See, Don's aware of the fact that I don't follow the basketball. Latrell Sprewell, you got Patrick Ewing.
Right.
And,
okay.
How about the coach?
Not a player.
So it wouldn't count?
Do you know the coach's name?
Yes.
What?
The coach's name is Bill Bradley.
Okay. The coach is the guy who looks like the mortician, Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy with the big bags under his eyes.
Could have mentioned LJ, Larry Johnson. You could have mentioned...
No, stop right there.
Charlie Ward.
You could have mentioned LJ, Larry Johnson. You make it sound like I could have, but I couldn't because I don't know.
And this retarded thing, I can't believe I forgot to talk about the retarded thing that Larry Johnson did. In the Knicks game on Sunday.
Grandmama.
Yes, about 5 years ago, it was Grandmama.
Thank you.
He hit a three, banked it off the glass. A three. It's a shot like from goddamn horse.
Right.
That normally you'd have to call. Larry Johnson.
Impossible shot.
Throws up this lucky shot at the end of the game against the Toronto Raptors. And he's coming down the court, and he does this thing that looks like... You know how Italian guys go F you?
Yeah, they flip you off by putting their hand in the crotch of their elbow.
Well, as he's running down the court, he did that. And I wondered what he was doing. I saw him at a press conference later, and he said, I'm making an L. By doing that, he's making an L.
Okay.
He sure didn't look like he was doing the F you sign.
Yeah, maybe he was just making that part up.
I'm making an L.
Maybe he was really making an F you sign.
Maybe.
Portland's in Minnesota tonight as well. The Trailblazers lead that series 2-1. The coach with the most victories in NBA history may soon be working for Michael Jordan's Washington Wizards. Lenny Wilkins, who resigned from the Atlanta Hawks last month, met with Jordan today. Jordan's also interested in St. John's coach Mike Jarvis, formerly of George Washington University here.
Nice fake teeth.
Jarvis is also expected to meet with
Jordan.
You
ever see Mike Jarvis's teeth? They're like Regis Philbin's teeth.
See the guy that's got the beard?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's bald with the beard.
Bald, really cue ball, bald up on top with like kind of a Charlie Charlie Stossel look up on top?
Yes.
Okay, I know the guy you're talking about.
Except he has more hair than Charlie Stossel.
Jordan's hoping to fill that coach's slot before the May 21st draft lottery.
I do okay, don't I, around the cursory of this basketball thing?
Yeah, you're doing
thing,
fine.
You know? Thank you.
Doing fine.
They threw objects and insults when Atlanta pitcher John Rocker took the field in Los Angeles last night. It was his second road appearance since his tirade against New Yorkers, gays, immigrants, and minorities. And as Rocker faced Dodger batter Kevin Elster last night, a fan ran out of the stands, stopped between first and second base, turned around, and dropped his shorts, mooning Rocker. Braves manager Bobby Cox says he hopes that's as bad as it gets.
We're planning on doing a remote from Shea and June on battery night at the stadium.
Wear a helmet.
No, I'm serious. We're planning on going out and doing the show from Shea Stadium that night in New York.
And man, I agree with Buzz. Wear a helmet.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll be with the good guys.
Right.
We'll be wearing the Mets stuff.
Batteries will be flying everywhere.
Wear a helmet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Baltimore Orioles' Mike Mussina says he's not interested in being traded. Mussina says he will not waive or be bought out of a no-trade clause in his current contract. Orioles owner Peter Angelos has offered Mussina $60 million over 5 years. NASCAR is hitting the Penske Crane Fuss team with a major penalty. NASCAR says the team used an illegal fuel during an April 16th race in Talladega.
Methane.
As a result, driver Jeremy Mayfield has been stripped of 151 points.
I'm Jeremy the driver.
Team operator Michael Cranefuss has been fined $50,000.
Take this car to the village.
And crew chief Peter Suspenso is suspended. They suspended Suspenso until June 6th.
Jeremy drives a little VW.
Cranefuss says his team accepts the penalty.
Little clown car.
And finally, a woman who is both a stripper and a comedian is suing Comedy Central for using clips from her show on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show.
I like Jon Stewart.
Me too.
Sandy Kane has a public access cable show that runs in New York and California called the Sandy Kane Blue Show. That's B-L-E-W.
Sandy Kane Show.
They don't show the... You can't get these shows when you're staying in hotels up there.
No, no, you can.
Why? Why effing not? That had to run, you know, the rhythm had to go right. Why effing not?
Sandy Kane Show.
The Sandy Kane Blue Show has been on the air for about 5 years.
Blue!
Sandy says she noticed a couple of years ago that The Daily Show was using clips from her program, even though those clips were used for promos and used without paying her anything. The 46-year-old is suing Comedy Central for $3 million. Quoting her, "I thought whores were low people, but... this comedy business is the lowest business in the world."
Of course.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
Yes, that's it. We've got to go.
No. See you tomorrow with a new show. Christy Swanson coming by. The disc jockey stuff. And we'll set up the Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night.
Excellent.
At Carmen Kaboom in Columbia, Maryland. Hello, Don.
Hi.
And Mike Show. Hi.
I am caller 100.
Right. Right. Correct. What is your name?
My name is Esther Wolfrey.
Esther, baby, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Vienna, Virginia.
Esther, you won the Stuff of the Month gift pack, a gift pack. Log on to stuffofthemonth.com and make every month a holiday by sending her lingerie monthly.
Hmm, interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
Boy, don't you like pretty things?
Well, I don't know. I guess so.
What, are you ugly?
No.
All right.
Well, lingerie makes a lady feel wonderful. And in some cases makes a man feel wonderful. You're not happy with the lingerie?
That's fine.
Honey, I'm sure they have it in XL.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out why there was a level of displeasure.
No, that's okay.
No, something's bothering you. Please share it with us.
What's wrong with the prize of getting lingerie every month?
I guess that's fine. I would rather win, let's say, Powerball or big game tickets or something like that.
You wanted lotto tickets instead of lingerie.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't have them, honey.
That's all right.
All right.
I'll take the lingerie.
She was what? Hold on. The producer was saying something in my ear, and I couldn't hear what he was saying. What did he say?
He said, "She wins all the time. Tell her to shut up."
Oh, you're a prize? Are you a prize pig?
I'm not a prize pig. I just like to win.
All right.
And complain.
All right, shut your pie hole. That's it. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Back with a new episode. See you then. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now, Sid. Please, throw your hat in the air, just like Sidney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it out.
Oh,
there you go.
Very nice voice. Very Ainsley-like.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Shall we meet again?